You want to do your dog song? Do 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 do.
Preparation H.
Preparations A through G were a complete failure.
Consult your doctor if you get a sudden outbreak of the Skeeters.
They call me the Skeeter.
They called me Bluffberg or whatever the yeah.
Bluffington?
Bluffington.
God damn it, Griffin.
Sorry.
God damn it.
Yeah.
Jamie, can we do the guitar lick when Roger comes in? Where it's like when it went wow. Wow wow.
Oh yeah.
It's a great show. That show is unique in that it represented green people when other television programs were too afraid to give them equal screen time.
Yeah.
Wasn't there an episode about a girl that got like a nose job?
Probably. Bebe or BB?
Sure.
BB? I can't remember anymore.
You playing castanets over there?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm opening my seltzer, and apparently this microphone is awful sensitive.
How many times do you open your seltzer?
Yeah, really, man?
Once?
Do you have a bandolier of seltzers ready to go? Hey, yes. Everybody, it's Boss Barrel, episode Who Gives a Damn, and I am Griff Hoffman. With me is Jeff Brewer.
Yep.
Jamie yep. Scherer.
Hello.
And nobody else.
I'm and, expecting.
And you, listener, you're here too. You're part of this ride.
I'm going to pretend that Andy's here. I'll just be Andy. So when I talk like this, I'm Andy.
Okay. That's cool. Sounds exactly right, yeah.
I like the new Xbox commercial where they use the Rocky voiceover. Have you guys seen that one?
No, I haven't, I Andy. Can you describe it more?
Yeah, sure. It's a bunch of footage of third-party games that are going to come out on the PlayStation 4, but it shows the Xbox logo, and then there's Rocky talking, and he says,
"It doesn't matter if you get hit. What matters is how hard you hit back."
Andy, Rocky, that sounds amazing.
Yeah. Andy, I have a question for you, Andy. Is Halo in it?
Yep.
Yeah, who's speaking like, right now? I don't understand who's speaking.
Yes.
Sorry. Yeah, Master Chief is in it for a hot second. He looks like he's laying down to go to sleep, actually.
Yes.
Andy, what are your feelings on the Xbox decrease in price and the lack of the Kinect as a hardcore Xbox fan?
I'm definitely going to get it because Halo Anniversary, every time... What the hell is going on with the audio? Also, Halo Anniversary is like the best game ever because it's all the Halo games, but it's one game. So I'm going to get it.
Don't you already own an Xbox with Kinect, Andy?
Fucking well!
Andy, you have four Xbox Ones already.
Listen, if I want to play Halo 2 multiplayer with Halo 3 physics, how am I going to do that? Without this game.
I've got... You raise a great point, Jamandy. I think that... Do you feel like there might be any similarities between the Mario Maker World game where you can create your Mario levels and this Halo game? Like, kind of retreading on past nostalgia, giving people what they want?
Maybe. Except Mario Maker... seems more like a departure for Nintendo, but this kind of seems like it was inevitable, in my opinion.
Andy, because... what do you think of The Last of Us Remastered?
It was a terrible game. I hate it. it was everything that's wrong with video games today.
Okay, you're so right. Yes, I agree.
Yes.
I have to stop talking like this because my voice hurts. My larynx.
Speaking of terrible voices, hey, you guys watch that Tekken 7 trailer?
I love Heihachi.
It's so stupid.
I have not seen this. I'll have to watch it.
No, you're not really missing much.
The best voiceover I've heard in a long time. It's just this lady literally like reading lines like with like huge pregnant pauses between each line, like 10 seconds. She'd be like, Heihachi doesn't like Kazuya.
Death.
But Heihachi doesn't know how strong he'll become. I love Heihachi. It's really amazing.
That was amazing, Jeff.
If you're not a huge fan of like the Tekken lore, I think I'm completely flabbergasted by it. Like, where they're re-showing every awesome bit from all the Tekken games before, and then they're doing the next thing up where it's like, you know what's so amazing? This other person who we've never talked about in the Mishima backstory, where it's like Uncle Grandpa Grandfather Mishima, who is a giant fucking like tumor ogre. And now this one's just like a pretty mama lady. You're like, yeah, I get mixed. Last one had a robot lady who could detach her head. So who gives
That's
a shit at
sick.
This point?
Was she related to J A C K?
Well, Jack has been there forever, so no. She wasn't.
If you're gonna play Tekken, you gotta be Jack in it. The only way to play.
No, man.
Or the panda.
You play as was it Gon the Raptor?
Eddie Gordo?
No. Fuck Eddie Gordo. His dumb flips. Stupid flips.
Eddie Gordo, teenage me thought Eddie Gordo was the bomb.
Mm. Eddie Gordo was the capoeira guy that was like, I can dance fine.
Yeah.
I thought you were...
He was basically a racial stereotype, like most
anything
characters
from
of color.
Japan, yeah.
Yep. Another was King. King had a mask.
Oh, King is my favorite. Absolute favorite. But which King? Armor King?
Regular King? Regular King. Fuck Armor King.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck Armor King.
What are you
King.
Even saying?
This dumb
Jamie,
fucking...
Jamie, what's your question?
How do you play Tekken? Because I remember trying to play Tekken 2, and it didn't make any sense, and it wasn't as easy as Mortal Kombat, and so I didn't ever play Tekken 2.
Tekken's really easy, but if you want to do combos, you have to enter long strings of buttons.
Okay.
It's less about precision and more about lots of inputs.
Oh, okay. Mm,
okay, yeah, I guess if you want to be cynical about it.
Okay.
It's Well, I mean, it's a more complicated system because you're working on a 3D plane, for sure.
Yeah, that's true. But I thought that they only added that in later entries. Like, I think that started in Tekken 5,
No, you've
I
always
think?
Had 3D World.
Oh, really?
You would always sidestep.
Okay.
It's Thieves of Three!
Okay. Hey, Yoshimitsu can stab himself and do a lot of damage to himself, but then the other person gets stabbed too.
That was my favorite part.
Was Virtua Fighter 2 a 3D plane or no?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But Virtua Fighter is the worst.
Which,
People were all about the VFs for a while.
I'm sure there's a ton of merit in that fighting game, but I have no interest because it's too hard.
Tekken was the one fighting game that I could actually play. Fighter, when I try to play it, it's like, you're too nub. You don't understand.
No,
when I play Tekken, I just press buttons and cool things happen.
Yeah, exactly. Tekken is the game that when I'm at the bar and I play that and I drink more, it's more awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Tekken is like the Smash Brothers of competitive fighting games in that it's accessible.
That's so weird because I played Virtua Fighter 5 a lot. Yes, I played Virtua Fighter 5 a lot. That was on the PlayStation. It was either on the PlayStation 2 or the... What system was that on?
VF5 was on
PS... last gen.
I thought VF5 was PS3.
Okay, oh, was VF4 okay. then.
4 is VF, what was on, yeah. on PS2. And
okay, yeah, I played VF4. VF4 a lot. And I thought that was immediately accessible, and I loved that game.
Huh.
That game was not accessible at all.
Nope. Yeah. Did you play against real people, or did you play against the computer?
I played against real people and the computer.
I would play as characters in that game, and I could not even get them to throw punches. That's how hard that game was for me.
Yeah.
But I love that game. I would play as the girl in blue, and I would use her legs.
Okay. Nailed it. Yep.
That's what I would do. And I remember that game being, like, I picked it up. I was like, this makes sense to me. This is great. But keep in mind, I'm the guy who, like, can't understand new Smash Brothers games. I think they're too complicated.
They're the easiest fighting
game
of all time.
They're way complicated.
They're so easy. No. You just press a button and you do the thing.
No, the new ones are way complicated. Everything is way complicated now with Smash Brothers.
Well, you can press a button and a direction now.
But there's all sorts of juking and,
yeah,
and
like
fading.
Floating and
flipping.
Invulnerability. bubble block. Edge guarding.
They got rid of Smash Burger.
How do you Smash Burger?
You go to a Five Guys and you say, hey, let's leave this place.
I remember one time I played Virtua Fighter 4 against Axel, and I beat him so many times in a row that he refused to talk to me anymore. And he went upstairs, and he told his mom that I was being unfair, and then he crossed his arms, and he sat down on the couch, and he didn't say anything.
Well, he had a point.
Well, were you playing Jackie not even, the entire time?
You're not even supposed to be able to throw a punch in that game.
Yeah.
So, I was, hello. Who's the girl? Who's the blue girl with the pants?
La Femme Nikita.
And she's Chinese. She's super Chinese.
They all are.
Chung Li.
She's got ponytails.
Tanya Harding.
Princess Peach.
Samus.
It's like Chun-Li, but it's not Chun-Li. It's the Virtua Fighter edition of Chun-Li.
Lung-Chi. Bonky Moon.
Conky Dong.
Oh my god. If you type in Chun-Li into Google Images, it's like a hellscape of depravity and fear.
It's an all-you-can-fat thunder thigh buffet.
Hey, you leave her thunder thighs out of this.
I can't quit them, Griffin. I just can't.
She has the physique of a stallion.
I really don't understand the Chun-Li obsession.
How can she kick so hard if she doesn't have gigantic legs?
How can she make me so hard?
I found pictures of Jackie Chan dressed as Chun-Li, and it's making my day.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's from a real movie.
What is this from?
Is it from, like, My Lucky Stars 2 or something?
I think it's from a movie called City Hunter.
Okay, that would make sense.
Why are all of Jackie Chan's movies also pornography titles?
I don't know.
Project A.
He's all about the A.
Yeah. Shanghai Night with an N.
Ooh. So, what were we talking about? Oh, fighting games. They were hard. Virtua Fighter, it makes no sense. Tekken's easy.
It's not easy. It's just stupid.
I guess so. So, you guys really find Smash Brothers complicated?
Yep.
Yeah. Wow. Not because it's not because it is innately complicated, but because I just get beat repeatedly, and then I'm like, "Hey, man, what did you do to beat me?" And they're like, "Well, I juked past you, and then I thunder flipped into your warranty zone, and then you didn't have the timing right on your claptrap. So then what happened was, and I'm like, "What are you saying?"
The answer is usually they're like, "Oh, you didn't play Melee," and I'm like, "Damn straight, I didn't play Melee." And they're like, "Well, okay."
The thing I like about Smash is that you press a button and then you do the thing. It's literally just press the button and the thing happens. So
But
that's what makes it easy for me to understand, because I can go into a stage and just press the buttons and things happen and like train. Whereas in like Street Fighter, I don't feel like I can do that. Like it's just like it's hard enough for me to even do the moves.
But
like, I could never get to the point where I learned timings in that game.
But there are strange things about Smash Brothers. Like, there's a strange way, like, being completely serious, not trying to make up strange words for things that I don't understand. There's strange, like, dodging techniques, right?
Yep.
And like wave dashing, you mean?
Yeah,
even know what that is.
Well, wave dashing wasn't in Brawl.
Well, there's invulnerability. Like, there's a dash invulnerability frame set, and there is frame counting, and there is crazy tactics, and there is all that stuff in there. It's just the execution is a million times easier because it's just like a 1-2 button input. But because of that, then you also build upon that like base so much larger, where it's like, well, now I can cheese this move to make it to do something else, where now it's like, oh, you're just doing the up A? Well, you should know that if you do the up A at this point in the frame, you'll execute it with this much more damage output. And you're like,
Well, yeah, I mean, there's definitely that. Like, you have to learn, like, about priority. Like, if two attacks go off at the same time, like, the neutral, like, the one where you don't press a direction might have priority over the one where you press a direction, like, that kind of stuff. Is that what you guys are talking about?
Yep, that definitely me, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that comes into play. I guess I tend to think that there definitely is that complexity, but it's the barrier to entry is so much lower, and I feel like every fighting game has that insane depth and complexity that just baffles my mind. But the thing about Smash that I like is that at least you don't have to spend like half of your time learning how to even do the inputs. Mm. That's how I feel. So
I guess the thing that with other fighting games, it's almost like I expect that.
Yep.
And I'm like, okay, this just comes with the territory. At least with something like Street Fighter, I can pick it up and I can have fun. And if I want it, that extra layer is, I mean, infinite extra layers are there. But for some reason with Smash Brothers, it like angers me when I don't completely understand the game within 30 minutes. Because the exterior of the game is like, so hey, simple. Look, yeah. But it kind of like belies a much deeper set of craziness.
Do you guys find that items mitigate that?
Yeah.
Oh, totally. Yeah, sure.
Yep. Okay.
I love just, some Smash Brothers. I'm just saying that it can get some crazy. Yeah. I don't know if
I totally love Smash Brothers too. I like playing it. I think it's big and dumb and fun. But I mean, I've no interest in playing it in a competitive set because I think it's one too difficult for me because my mind is in like a Street Fighter mindset where it's like, oh, you have two types. Mm. You have a charge type and you have a projectile type. That's all that exists in fighting games. Mm-hmm. Like that's how fighting games are designed. Like it's like you have a rook and a bishop. That's how this game is played. And now this is like everybody can do anything. Isn't that great? And you're like,
see, it's so weird because for me it's exactly the opposite. For me, I cannot even begin to fathom like all the craziness that is Street Fighter, all the craziness that is every other fighting game I play. I play them, I have a little bit of fun in the beginning, and then I'm immensely frustrated immediately, and I'm like, there's no reason to play this game. Smash Brothers, I always wanted to continue. So it's very strange. I wonder if it's because you guys like grew up playing the fighting games. I remember trying Mortal Kombat in an arcade and I was like, I can't play this. Like this is impossible for me. And Smash Brothers
in an arcade because the arcade stick actually allows you to do things.
Yep.
Whereas with a controller it's like, I can't do this.
For me, like I was like, I can't do this. I can't fathom this. And I'm kind of still like that with fighting games. With Smash, I'm like, okay, this makes so much sense. Just press a button and you do the move. And like for some reason, I guess I kind of intuitively grasped like what they were going for with the type of arena and stuff. It felt much more natural to me than a fighting game ever has. So my experience is like the exact opposite of your guys, which is weird. But anyway.
No, I think that's why that makes like the dichotomy between Smash fans and Street Fighter fans or like classic fighters so strong. Is it's like you have one mindset which is like this is the indoctrinated version of fighting games, and the other one's like everything, it's like the completely crazy democratized version of fighting games where it's like everybody's equal and everything's fine and you can learn it all immediately. It doesn't require the tenure of playing this since you were born. You know, it makes it harder, but also easier, depending on where you're coming from.
That's really interesting. I had never thought of it that way before, but, that could well be the reason why we, go ahead.
It's because you're a scrub.
Yeah, probably. I'm a nub, but I should feel bad.
So, I just want to let you guys know right now, I'm wearing a jean jacket.
Whoa. Yeah,
it's pretty cool here in Des Moines.
You might be a little bit too much man for me to handle now, Griffin.
I got a jean jacket and a tall boy.
Whoa. Tall boy
of Miller.
Oh, lame.
Yeah.
I might be nursing a little semi right now, Griff. you wanna get it all the way to Go Town?
I'm wearing a Banjo Kazooie shirt.
Ooh, it just went way down.
Oh.
Is there a fanny pack involved?
Only my beer gut.
Ooh. Back in business, baby. Back in business.
Oh, man. You guys are the best.
Thank you. what's going on, guys?
What's happening? You tell me what's going on.
What's going on?
I don't know what's going on.
It's been like a month.
I played a game from 2013 called Legend of Zelda, A Large-Breasted Woman.
Oh, that's the worst game ever. Who would ever play that garbage?
Yeah, seriously. If somebody put that on their Game of the Year list, something seriously
fucking idiots, right?
Yeah.
So I texted you guys this yesterday, but imagine this in your brains.
Yep.
That you never play. Just take walk with me. You've never played a top-down Zelda, and you've never really played any Zelda games ever.
Yep.
And then you play this game.
Yep.
And it's like Like, wouldn't that just blow your mind in a thousand different ways? Because
are you high right now, Jamie?
Because for you, they're perfecting a formula that you're familiar with. And in many ways, they introduce new things, but it's kind of a lot of things are to be expected for you. So, but for me, it's like, oh my God, this is brilliant.
Wait, are you like saying you've never played a top-down Zelda?
I've never played a top-down Zelda.
Have you ever played a top-down Zelda?
Never. I've never played a top-down Zelda.
Wait a
Jamie,
second.
You're about to be evicted from Boss Barrel Radio.
But now, well, now I have.
Previous to 2014, you've never played a top-down Zelda?
Nope.
Have you ever played a top-down Zelda?
Just swing the band hammer.
But you know what? This was all the sweet baby Jesus' plan, because he wanted me to save myself, like a good Christian, for my marriage to...
Oh, you've been just doing a 3D world. Zeldas in the butt for the last 10 years.
I was going to say, Jamie, God can't save you now. No one can save you.
It's so, so good. It's like going from being like an atheist. It's like me waking up in the middle of the night as an atheist, and the sweet baby Jesus is hovering above me, and then he looks into my eyes, and he goes, I'm real, motherfucker, and then he jizzes all over me.
I think it's more like...
That's what happened to
have
me.
You, have,
somebody,
have you been
I think it's
diary,
more
Jamie?
Like somebody's like, hey, man, you know what's awesome? Hamburgers, and you've been eating like hamburgers your entire life, and you're like, wow, hamburgers are great. They're so good. Like, I love how tasty they are. And then all of a sudden you're like, I'm going to try a steak. And then you eat that steak and you're like, holy shit. Like, this steak is insane. I can't believe that steaks can be like this. I want to try other steaks and different cuts of meats. And this is like, who would ever think this could be this good?
I guess you're right. If we're going for actual analogies, that's pretty actually accurate.
And then you tried a steak that was in 3D.
Mm.
It could flatten itself.
Right.
Sometimes.
You were eating. You haven't eaten beef jerky.
This is your first time snapping into a Slim Jim.
It's so, the game is so good. I was actually having a lot of trouble early on with some of the low world bosses, and I realized that was because I hadn't upgraded any of my equipment. I hadn't gotten the better armor or the better shield, and I hadn't upgraded my sword. And by the end of the game, I had done all those things, and I was super powerful. But that kind of feeling was one that I did not expect to get from a Zelda game, like a feeling of powerlessness at first, and mm-hmm. then slowly just being completely and utterly badass.
So what kind of Zelda games have you played before that are
that's
coloring
not the way,
your picture in this sense?
Didn't you play Ocarina, Jamie, all the way through?
I did not play Ocarina
what
all the way
f-
through.
That's fine. That game sucks.
Get out of here, Griffin.
The Zelda, the chunks of the Zelda games I've played, which are only chunks, and it's Ocarina of Time and Wind Waker. In those uh-huh. games, the dungeons are such that you get the new tool for the dungeon, mm-hmm. and then the boss, every boss in each dungeon seems to be progressively harder mm-hmm. because they're controlling exactly what you have and how powerful you are at that moment. But in this game, since all the low-world dungeons are pretty much the same difficulty, you start out with the first low-world dungeon, and it's a really tough uphill battle. And then the last one, you're like, I'm fucking badass. I'm just hacking people in half all the time. And I thought that was like, I didn't expect to feel that way playing that game.
That's interesting.
Maybe in the top-down Zeldas, that's more common.
Nope,
not at all.
Frankly, in almost every Zelda, you pretty much curb stomp every enemy by the end of the game.
Yeah, and I'm really surprised that you felt like you were more powerful. Like, I felt like each tool was honed to the dungeon still. It just you could take a respite from one that you were having trouble with and move on to a different one with this new game.
I think Jamie's describing which is the thing which happens in every single Zelda game, which is that the game gives you way too much extra health and buffs after every dungeon.
Okay.
So that you just become insanely powerful. And I think he's just attributing it to the weird item system.
Okay.
But I think it's actually just a weird kind of... It's like the live system in Mario. Like, everybody knows that it's just completely broken, but it's still there.
Not quite the same.
not quite the same, but it's like it serves its purpose in the very beginning. I guess I see it as analogous because in the beginning of the game, like, lives matter in Mario. But after you get past, like, the second world, you have, like, 100 lives. So it's kind of the same thing in Zelda. Like, in the beginning of the game, your hearts really matter. But after you get to, like, the fourth dungeon, you have, like, 35 hearts.
Right. Once you get out of the low world and you get, like, the intro world, like, you get the capacity to explore. And then you can go do stuff. I totally hear you now that I'm thinking about it. Like, before, you're gated by your access to the overworld, by the dungeons you choose to go into. So then you use those tools to get the heart pieces. So now with this game, you can buy all the tools and then get all the heart pieces in the world to beef yourself up. So I'm following you if that's what your thought process was on that.
In previous Zelda games, could you go to any dungeon you wanted whenever?
No.
No.
Not so much.
It seems like in Ocarina especially, there's like an order. There's a set order, and the difficulty scales with the order in which you're supposed to see these bosses. Like, but in this game, you
could go to a dungeon, but you wouldn't have the tools to even really enter it. Like, it's like, oh, there's these posts in the way, and I don't have a hammer to knock them down. Yeah. I better go to the hammer dungeon. But you could still, go there.
So you're saying, Jamie, that all bosses are balanced for the beginning of low roll, essentially? Because
I'm saying
you could face
not the beginning.
Them,
I feel like halfway through my low rule journey, the bosses were normal difficulty, and when I started, they were hard, and when I finished, they were easy. And it wouldn't have mattered which boss I went to first, but because I get a new heart after every boss, as in certain dungeons you find the ore, in other dungeons you find shield upgrades, in other dungeons you find armor upgrades. It doesn't really matter which path you take. Pretty much the first one you go to, whichever that may be, is going to be pretty tough. And then it's going to get easier from there because you have to be able to beat whichever one you want first.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I guess.
Yes, that makes sense to me. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, I guess what I would say is the unique thing about this Zelda is that any of those dungeons could be your first difficult dungeon. But it is typical in most Zelda games that just as you progress, the game doesn't balance well for the later levels, so you just get really overpowered, which some people like and other people don't. It kind of is what it is. But I understand what you're saying, Jamie. It's definitely more free, and I guess because of that, maybe the power, like the fact that they have to make every boss doable with a low number of hearts, it just gets really easy later on, which is kind of nice because you feel like you're getting strong.
Jamie, I have a question
that
for you.
Feeling in game.
I do too, but I have a question for you specifically about being new to the Zelda world, kind of. Mm-hmm. What did you think of the music in this game?
I thought it was kind of throwaway. There were some standouts. For example, in one dungeon, the music kind of sounded like No Surprises by Radiohead. Mm. It goes, doo, 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 doo. I can't sing it right now. Mm-hmm. But I was all about that. And then in another dungeon, in the ice dungeon, it was kind of like lullaby-y. But I wasn't too into it. Do people like it?
It had a pretty sick theme for Yugo, I thought.
Yeah. It had a really good overworld reprise.
Yeah, the overworld song was great.
Yep.
I played a lot of it like on planes and stuff. Like, I took full advantage of the fact that it was mobile. So I wasn't necessarily listening that hard all the time.
Jamie is the kind of guy who turns the volume off.
No, that's fine. I'm the same way. I was just curious because a lot of the songs are callbacks to Link to the Past, and a lot of the appreciation of those songs, I think, come to the nostalgia tied to A Link to the Past. So I was curious if you thought there was actually some really awesome merit to them.
Jeff is whispering sweet nothings into our ears.
Oh.
No, I'm not whispering anything.
Talk to me about Pikmin.
Oh, was that Jessica that you heard?
I don't know.
Yeah, this mic doesn't have very good noise isolation. Sorry about that, guys.
Damn it!
That's okay. So I guess I'm missing out on that whole aspect of it. But like I said, it's maybe made up for by the fact that I've never experienced anything like this before. And
that's
it's
so
like
awesome.
Everything that I do is mind blowing because I've never done it. And but it was really funny because I did get stuck quite a bit, and I'd Google online like how to do this in the game. Is who is that?
Don't worry about it.
So what was I saying? Oh yeah. So I'd Google what I needed to do in the game, and then I'd be reading the guide, and I'm like, this looks weird. And then I'd be reading a guide for A Link to the Past. But it'd be so similar that I wouldn't notice until like three or four lines in. It'd be like go to the entrance to the Skull Woods, you'll see this, and I'm like, all right, I see that. And then go in and then this'll happen. I'm like, that's not happening. I'm like, oh, because I'm reading a guide for a game that's 20 years old.
So the one thing you're missing out on, Jamie, is like there are a lot of like throwbacks in that game that kind of play on what your expectations are, mm-hmm. because they present a situation which looks very similar to Link to the Past.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, this is going to be the segment where that happens.
Right.
And
you're like, this is where I get the dash boots.
Exactly. But they're like, no, actually, it's exactly the opposite of what you expected. And you have to do something completely new or different, or this isn't going to look the way you thought it did, or this character's not going to do what you think he's going to do. So that's the one thing that you kind of missed out by not having played Link to the Past.
What did you think about the painting, like wall 2Dification mechanic? Did you think that was really cool, or do you think it was kind of boring?
I thought it was pretty cool. I definitely, you know, when I did it, I wasn't like excited. Like it wasn't like shooting people with double barrel shotguns in Wolfenstein, but I thought it was cool. My mind doesn't automatically go there a lot, mm-hmm. so a lot of times it would simply be a case of like I'd be in a dungeon and I'd be using my fire wand to solve all the puzzles. And then I'd get to a room and I wouldn't know how to proceed. And I'd say, I'm stuck. I don't know what to do. But it would just be a case of merging into the wall. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. I'd get so used to solving it with whatever is the item of the day for that dungeon that I would forget that would be something that I could do. So I thought that was a kind of a cool way to get me thinking, like, you know, outside of the proverbial box.
But it didn't blow your mind, Jamie. You weren't like, wow.
No, I think that's really cool that he's saying it, that it was like this additional tool besides what you thought the dungeon tool would be. Because Jeff, I think when we had talked about this before, we're like, the tool is what the tool is. It doesn't really matter. It's more of the mechanic of the wall. That's our first thought.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think the thing that made these dungeons fresh was that all of them, like, even if you had the tool of the day, it's a little tired after a while, Jamie. You could always rely upon like weird wall merging stuff. What are you doing, Griff?
What do you mean?
Hello,
Griff. Hey, how's it going?
Okay, you're doing some funky things over there.
Well, you just turned into robots. So I was saying.
Okay then.
I think we have some lag between us right now.
Do we?
I don't.
Oh
think
yeah,
so.
It's like 5 seconds long.
No, I don't.
Ready? Go.
Are you sure we do? Go.
Ha!
Did exactly the same to me.
It sounded normal to me.
That's
too.
Weird.
All right, you guys say go, and then I'll say go.
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 Oh no.
Yeah. See.
Oh.
Right? Yeah.
I don't know.
Should
do I need to get onto a better computer than my iPad?
No, you're probably fine. Let's just reset here for a second, take a quick pause, and redo the internet connection.
Okay, Griff, I'm going to quickly, and Jamie too, I'm going to quickly scoop my cat litter. I'll be back.
Oh, yeah. Can you save that for the air? Oh, I can hear it now. Scoop it.
Scoop it.
Wait, what's the sound of cat litter?
I don't know. It's probably difficult to make. It's kind of like sand, but with shit in it.
It's like...
I keep forgetting. You have a cat.
I do. I have a cat.
You own a cat. You hardly ever talk about it, though. That's so strange for a cat owner.
Yeah.
Why don't you talk about your cat constantly?
I really should. You know, it's because I don't actually. Yeah, it's dead.
Wait,
I mummified it, and I pretended it's alive, and I've stuffed it, and I carry it around the house, and everything. It's kind of weird.
It's not really dead, though, is it?
No, no, Billy's fine. She's alive and happy and well, but, it's, you know, she's not a topic for discussion, like most of my family on the podcast.
Oh, okay.
Plus, gotcha. She sucks at video games. Like, we tried to play Call of Duty with her, and we got this, like, Friskies, Purina, whatever, sponsored game where they touch fish on the screen. She's terrible at it. Terrible.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell her to just stop it?
Stop what?
Just
sucking?
Like, just stop sucking, yeah.
Yeah, I do all the time. And I kick her.
Okay, good. That's like, exciting.
Yeah, I'm like, you take that, you dumb cat.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. No, she's pretty rad.
And you don't have a dog.
No pet, no dog. No, definitely no dog. That would be a lot of time and commitment and everything.
Yeah.
Jeff, take a big whiff of that ammonia soaked poop sand. Poop sand.
I don't know. Is that Jessica?
Stuff the pillowcases with the poop sand.
Why does Jessica sound so different?
I don't know. Probably because they're in the bathroom right now. Like, they're, I think they just, because of their new flooring and TV situation, they just decided to move entirely into the bathroom where the acoustics are really terrible.
It does sound pretty terrible.
Yeah.
What else is up, man?
Oh, you know, just, you know, wearing jean jackets and whatnot. It's pretty cool.
Where were you guys where I took that picture and you're standing in front of some logos?
Oh, that was from like a year ago. We were at a friend of ours' birthday party. He always puts on like he always puts on a big event for his own birthday where he has like really, yeah, I don't know. It's really cute. Like, his philosophy is like, I never was good at anything as a kid, and I never won a trophy, and I was never celebrated. So I want my birthday to be something where everybody can join and like be important and be celebrated. So he gives out trophies on his birthday, and he has a limousine, and it's like a black tie event. And he has like, you know, speakers and comedians and everything come in, and he does it up really well. His name's John Blair. He's awesome. And he had like a photographer with like a set kind of a thing there. And you know, that was like the last year. It was pretty small actually for the time, but it was fun.
Is he like really loaded?
No, he's just like a server at Cheesecake that we knew. So
how does he afford all this stuff?
It's not that expensive. Like, you just need to know people.
To have a comedian? Oh, okay. I don't know anyone.
Yeah. You gotta know more
like
comedians.
Anyone.
What?
Okay. I'll try to be better.
Yeah. Go meet more funny people.
Be like, How do you meet a comedian?
Well, you go to a location where you find a funny person, and they're like, hey, you should be a comedian. And then they're like, okay. And now you know a comedian. Yeah. We actually did that like a week ago or two, where a friend of ours who did a set at one of these parties on the stage is now doing like stand up for real comedian stuff. So that's pretty cool.
Awesome.
He's actually been on the podcast before. His name's Chris Backstrom. He's really cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's really good at Blitz. Like, really good.
I feel like I'm losing you, Griff.
Okay. Well, hello? I think maybe we should take... Now that Jeff is finally back from cleaning his shit up, we should finally take a break.
Okay. What happened?
Nothing. We were just talking about comedians.
Yeah, and poop.
But I thought we were taking a break.
No, I never hit the break button. We should take a break.
Do it live. Fuck it.
No, we should... It sounds like we have a bit of a delay here, so... Let's disconnect, reconnect, hit that beautiful bean footage.
Started.
We started from the bottom.
But never stop.
Never stop. Never stop.
Now we're here.
Tie me up.
Kickstart my heart and you'll never... whoa.
I just want you guys to know I got... Wait. What's the song about problems?
Do you have any?
Not 99 problems. One less problem without you.
Oh.
The greatest song on the radio today, guys.
I don't know.
It's a terrible song.
What was that song that you kept talking about?
Summer.
Met you in the summer.
I met you in the summer. When the leaves turn brown. Or whatever the lines are.
I heard that song in the cafeteria today. And I told my coworker I hate the song, and she responded, "I like how they put techno in it."
She is the target demographic.
Yep. Are you secretly living in the South, Jamie?
You have to remember that Jamie is technically going to like he's at an educational institution, so there are people there who enjoy weird things.
There are people there who have no interests.
Wait, yes. What does that mean? Is that like a trade school?
I go to vocational school.
Oh, okay.
And there are people there who
How's the VCR repair going?
it's a bold move going into VCR repair at this point in time, but you got a feeling that they're coming back.
It's a niche market, but if you need your VCR fixed, you need it fixed. You have a porn collection the size of Kentucky and you're not transferring over to the digital whatever because you have spent countless dollars.
Also, there are no Walmarts within a 5,000 mile radius.
There is no such thing as that.
Where you can buy $20 VCR DVD combos. So what were we talking about with Link Between Worlds? It's a good game.
It's a
great game. The wall shifting mechanic was the bomb. What was your point, Griffin, about it?
Nothing.
Okay. Right then.
That was the best nothing ever.
Shall we move on then, I guess?
Yeah. Jamie, do you have any final words about Link Between Worlds before you get caught up with 2014?
Before what?
You get caught up with 2014.
You're so 2000 and late.
No, it's awesome. I'll run through everything else that I played that we haven't talked about. We haven't talked about Wolfenstein yet.
Well, I want to jump in here just for a brief second to do the whole catch up to all that bullshit.
Okay.
I played the Donkey Kong's Tropical Freeze on the Wii U. It is a good game. It's very good.
Did you beat it?
No.
Is it a good game? That's the qualifier you're choosing to use?
It's a good game. Like,
okay.
When you guys were talking about it before, that it was pretty good, you're pretty right.
All right. How do you feel about the controls?
It's fine. Feels like a Donkey Kong game.
Okay.
There's a lot of diversity in the level types. Kept me going through each one. Fun bosses that are not short and challenging. Each world and level definitely feels unique, so I liked it quite a bit. Good music, too.
It feels more like a Donkey Kong game to me than Donkey Kong Country Returns, I would say,
okay.
Personally.
Having I still don't think it that, feels... I wouldn't. Having not played any Donkey Kong games since Donkey Kong 64, I'd say this is a definite improvement.
Griffin, even though you didn't play it, I think you should offer an opinion on the matter.
On what?
On Donkey Kong Country Returns. This is the internet, so...
Well, having not played it and already... I mean, give me one tidbit of backstory information. Like, did developer...
No, just give nothing? Me... Just okay. Let the opinion come out. Go.
Donkey Kong Returns, more like Donkey Kong returned to the store I bought it.
There you go. You did it.
Thanks.
That was incredible.
yeah, that's a great
but
game.
Donkey
I'm
Kong
glad you like it, Griff.
Tropical Freeze is more like Donkey Kong Wallet Squeeze.
Ooh. More like Donkey Kong topical ointment that I have to apply to my body every day to prevent the rashes from coming back.
Nailed it.
They always come back.
I don't want to waste more time on it because, you know, you guys already talked it up in the last fucking 6 months, so it's good. I'm having a ton of fun with it, and it's got great music.
Alrighty.
But Jamie, tell me more about. Oh, Jeff, do you want to go? Do you want to?
I was going to say,
like,
can I name
a duck, duck,
can I
gray
name
duck?
An old game that I played that I don't have much to say about.
How old?
Last year.
All right, that's in the scope. Yeah.
I played Hearthstone on the iPad.
Fuck you.
Let me tell you the story of Hearthstone. So I played some Hearthstone, right? And I was like, hey, this is kind of fun. This is scratching that collectible card game itch.
Now you're broke.
And no, listen. And then I played one multiplayer match, and I was like, this is the stupidest game of all time. I hate this. And I deleted it. All right. Because it is, it's like, what? It's just a time sink.
Is
every
it because
game that's popular.
Is it because it didn't play like Smash Bros?
No, it's because the moment you play the game, you're like, oh, I'm hopelessly outclassed unless I either spend A, like 500 hours getting all the cards, or B, like $200. This is not fun at all.
I think you're being overly cynical about it.
I guess. I don't want to go down the Skylanders rabbit hole again, but it just really made me mad, and I deleted it like immediately after completing the tutorial because I was like, this is no longer fun.
Yeah. I would say, hey, here, I have a similar point. It was never fun to begin with.
Oh, yeah, it's not as good as Magic.
It's not as good as any card game, except for the pack opening thing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I like the pack opening.
Yep, that's about it.
Yeah, it's kind of broken in its way. I mean, maybe it's balanced for high-level play, but it feels pretty broken out of the box.
It's a game that demands devotion from the start, and I'm not interested in that. And if you make a card game that doesn't have that built into it, then it won't succeed. So, you know, it's a catch-22.
It's basically a card game built for the Dota set. I feel like.
Yeah, I agree. Yep. You know,
so, yeah,
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You know, I don't think there's anything bad about that. Like, if you want to devote your time and energy to it, it's a good game. Like, it's well produced, it's fun, it's awesome. It's just, it's not for me either.
Yep. So that's my old game that I played that I have impressions about. Okay, Jamie, go.
Round Robin.
Oh, an old game?
Yeah, old game.
Device 6 is incredible.
I agree.
Also, I played another Sumoko game called Year Walk, which is incredible, but it's hard. Mm. And yeah, and there's a new Sumoko game out, which is in the style of Year Walk, which I'm very excited to try. Sumoko is the developer behind Device 6.
Did they release that game or announce it, Jamie? Do you know?
I don't know. There was a Giant Bomb Quick Look on it. Or a Giant Bomb something. And
interesting.
I don't did you try Year Walk yet? Because Year Walk is a very different game than Device 6.
I have not tried Year Walk yet. I haven't beaten Device 6 yet either, but what I played of it was incredible. Device 6 is probably the only game that I think justifies the iPad's existence on like an existential or like a fundamental level.
I mean, I don't disagree with you, but I think there are other games that do that, but I completely agree with you that this is what maybe the best of those games.
Well, it uses every part of the iPad Buffalo. Like it is the game that it both does that and does it in like a virtuosic way.
How would you compare it to the usage of the iPad with Ridiculous Fishing?
It does more. I mean, Ridiculous Fishing is a great iPad game that is like at home on the iPad, but I think the Device 6
That's cool.
It shows you an experience that you just couldn't imagine on any other platform.
Awesome.
And I really respect that in a game like awesome. That to me is that's what I loved about consoles. You'd get an experience on a console that you couldn't get on any other platform. Maybe due to the unique properties of the console, you know, whatever. This feels like that to me. I don't know.
No, I completely agree with you.
Jamie, I just hope you just like farted right there. Like Jeff made that really profound statement. And you're just like, it came across.
Whatever. I like games.
Can we have a fart button that we push?
Yeah, you can push it. You can push it anytime you want.
Okay. So Device 6 is awesome.
Device 6 is incredible. I played some Kirby. That's a new game, though, but I don't have much to say about it.
You can't go. You got to do one.
Oh, sorry. Okay, that's it then.
Okay.
Griffin, go.
I played Mega Man X. That game's good. You guys inspired me to keep going. Summer Games Done Quick also inspired me to keep going, and I will beat that game sometime in the next 2 years, even though it's my favorite
Griffin,
game
you should
ever.
Live stream it, and then I'll encourage you through to the final boss. Also, dirty secret, Jamie hasn't beaten his favorite game either.
That's not a dirty secret. I proudly admit that.
I got really close, and there was part of me that was like, I don't know if I actually want to beat this, because part of the allure is having not beat it. But I still will never get tired of just playing through the boss stages, so I'm okay with that. Next!
Okay, I will skip the one that I like the most. So I'll talk about Rogue Legacy Vita. I feel like that fits into this category, even though it just came out yesterday.
Topical.
Yeah. Wait, topical? Oh, because it's new?
It's new and it's old.
It's new and it's old. What's old is new again. Orange is the new black.
Damn it! Two.
So I played Rogue Legacy for the Vita, and it's the exact same game, but it's really fun, and I realized that I never actually fully beat that game, because that's a hard game. I think I only beat like two or three of the bosses. So I'm having a lot of fun going back through it, and I unlocked like a holographic version of one of the bosses, and I'm fighting him, and it's fun. That's a cool game.
Awesome.
JB, you should buy that game again.
You do.
I really want to buy it. I don't want to spend $16 on a game I already bought, though.
Yeah, that's the tough part.
Isn't it like $11 with PS Plus?
$17?
No.
PS
really?
Plus? That's what I paid, I think. Ooh. I had a credit.
Yeah, I checked the price today because I downloaded my free games for August and I didn't want to lose out. But
wait, free games for August are out already?
He's living a month out of us. It's fine, you know.
For July. Because I'm excited.
Is that where there's lag from the future?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm excited to get the booby game. I'll play that with you.
Griffin, will you play Dragon's Crown with us on Vita again?
Or yes, especially because I hear that if you own both, then the cross-save compatibility is enabled?
Yes, I believe it is.
So since I own it on PS3, if I download it on PS Vita, they will both speak and I can do them together. So then that means I can probably finish the game.
Video games can't talk. You're dumb.
I'm kind of weirdly like overexcited for revisiting that game. I don't know why.
Oh, me too.
All the boobs
and the butts.
It left like a good impression, but not like it didn't like strike me as like a game that was like otherworldly, like an otherworldly level of amazing. But I'm really excited to go back to it. It feels like a comfortable place to go back to for
just
some
like
reason.
Boobies.
I'm especially excited to play it. With Jamie, and then also just to finish it.
Yeah.
We can never play it when Shannon is within a 30-mile radius of the house.
Yep, no, I hear you. It's like a dude's night, dragon's night.
There's really buff men that are not wearing very many clothes, so you can try to counter with that, but she'll probably point
Jamie,
out that
Jamie, what
that
are you
doesn't...
doing in the bathroom for 5 hours?
Should probably point out,
Andy, what are you doing here?
Andy?
Just tell her that you need some extramarital way to to please yourself.
You need
to
yell
at
us. This is for us. This is so that we can be better. Don't you get that?
Don't you wish your girlfriend was hot like me?
Don't you want it too? Look at that elf guy. That's a girl. Oh, shit.
Jamie, just play as the Amazon and you'll be safe.
Yeah.
She's got all the butts. Not the Amazon. Play as the elf, sorry, and you'll be safe because she's not sexualized.
Yeah, she's really a good character and like not explicitly disgusting, so
I'm not interested in that at all.
So yeah, super boring. Play the sorceress, because I got the big butt girl, you get the booby girl, Jeff's got the safe one.
No,
I've got the elf.
I wanted the butt.
Okay, I'll
you can
it.
Still be. You can still. Well, I'm probably gonna try another character as well. So you can be Alpha if you want. You
no,
can be...
he won't.
Alpha's. I really like Alpha. Actually,
you're gonna switch to being the dude with all the armor.
Maybe.
Yep.
That's actually a lady, though.
I might be Tits McGee. No. Tits McGee looks pretty cool.
No, you're too scared.
Can I be Assy McGee?
Nope.
I wish.
Yeah.
I wish.
Assy McGee is a tough character, but really fun.
Assy McGee is the greatest show that nobody except me and I think Jamie likes.
Was that a Nickelodeon trash festival that you're really into because of its subtext?
We don't talk about that here.
No,
it's a sore spot.
All right.
It's very emotional.
You're on thin ice.
Yep. He is.
Griffin.
Just like BB was in the Christmas special of Doug when she fell through and Porkchop saved her.
Fuck that show, man.
I can't remember anything from that show, but all I remember is joy and happiness.
Good. Yeah, great. Yep, you're totally valid.
I legally acquired that entire show, and by legally acquired, I mean that's what I'm going to say on here. And I rewatched a lot of it, and it's still really fun. I like that show a lot.
They're listening, they know.
So it's not even worth your time and money for Doug.
Well, it's actually pretty hard to purchase. The only way you can get it is through like special Amazon pressed DVDs that are like screwed up.
So you're not a real fan. Don't really care about Doug. I hear you. Me either. It's kind of bad.
Oh, them's fighting words. Them's fighting words.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jamie, you're up. Go. Play the game.
He just went. Didn't he?
He did?
Oh, I guess you're up. I think you're up, Jeff, aren't you?
No, I did Rogue Legacy. You're up, Griffin.
Oh, me?
I'm up.
Who's up? Jimmy, go okay, again.
Jamie's gone. Okay, I'll go.
Okay, you go.
I'll talk about the ones that are less important, and I won't spend too long on the important ones either. I played Strider, and that game is pretty generic.
Aww. I like that game.
Here's the problem with Strider. So moving in Strider is really fun.
Yeah.
That I'm not gonna knock it for that.
Yep.
Fighting in Strider is pretty fun too.
Yeah.
The environments in Strider are terrible.
Yeah, they're kind of boring.
They're really terrible.
It's very arcade. It didn't evolve beyond the arcade kind of concept.
No, and the problem is the whole open world thing, not really a good choice.
I didn't even really think of it as an open world, honestly. It just felt kind of like the new open world adventure game where you're like, I can go back to this place and get this new missile capsule. Not really open world.
I think it needed to be Titan, though. Like, I think the level design, yes, it was not really open world. I mean, it was, you know, there's like two paths. But I think the level design was really, it just wasn't focused. And I think that it wasn't, when I think of like my favorite platformers, like every enemy is like there for a reason. I don't know. Like everything is thought about. This game, it just kind of felt like they just recycled assets and like, okay, let's put two castles instead of one here.
Yeah. No, I know what you're saying. To me, it spoke to more of like the arcade sense of the game where it's like, oh, you know, instead of one guy with a gun, it's five of them. And they're on five different platforms, and now you got to do more platforming and shoot them all and spend more quarters or whatever. Like, it wasn't smart design, but it was fun.
I'm back.
It was fun design.
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely fun. It's just, I'm glad I didn't pay for it because it felt like, okay, I've had my fill after like an hour.
Hey, I'll tell you what, $15 was the right price for that game.
What game are we talking about?
Strider.
Oh, okay. I got it for free now.
Yeah. I did too. I played it and I was not super wowed. Like I liked the controls. I found it wasn't very well designed.
We played the arcade. We played the arcade original at Barcade in New York. Do you recall?
I do. Yeah, I died very quickly.
Yes, it was quite difficult, but I liked it kind of immediately.
It was really fun. It was a good game. I think, Jamie, as I was saying to Griffin, you will find that you will love movement in this game and you'll like the combat. But you won't like how repetitive it becomes and how loosely designed the levels seem to be. They're very unfocused. So, yeah.
Definitely, yeah. But I think there's also like really big, cool moments, like the boss fights that are well placed, yes, every year at a good pace, and like the challenge of them, where it harkens back to that old like bullet hell shooter style design. Mm-hmm. I had a great time with that.
Yeah.
As difficult as I and frustrating as it could be at times.
But were they as good as like crazy Contra boss fights? Contra 3?
I don't want to compare it to old Contra games, but like no, maybe it was not that well thought out in that design. Yeah. But I still had a lot of fun playing it.
Okay, yeah.
The old Strider, the arcade Strider? Like, probably not. Was it as zany in a tighter package? Probably not, but you know, it was still fun.
Okay, that's fair. I agree. Jamie, you're up.
Mutant Muds Deluxe on the Vita is awesome, but I really don't have much to say about it other than it's really hard, but it never seems unfair. And I just love how it's so, like, the first level, it's just coated with these gems that you're supposed to collect. And the game makes no pretense about being anything other than, like, a game where you jump and collect gems. And I just love it for that. It's the perfect mobile game. Hmm. So that's it.
I've played that game. It was pretty fun.
Yeah. I didn't play it.
Sorry.
It's a good game. I think it was overshadowed by a lot of other stuff, like immediately after coming out. I think that it's very solid if you take some time to dig into it, but it didn't really offer me anything that made it immediately stand out other than just being like really crisp.
Mm.
Gotcha. And really tight. The controls are like,
yes,
there's no dash button. Everything needs to be like super well timed on your part. Yep. Feels even like it feels as tight as games like Shovel Knight, but
I think it's tighter than Shovel Knight, actually.
Ooh. Yeah, probably. No, I agree, actually. It kind of, you feel it immediately. It's like, oh my god.
It's so tight. It's kind of like Mega, it's kind of like Mega Man 1, I feel like. Or Mega Man Powered Up. Did you play Powered Up, Jamie?
No.
Okay, it reminds me of the original Mega Man in terms of what it demands from you in terms of timing and precision of jumping.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very easy. So. I mean, I remember playing Mega Man games where I would have to give up and come back the next day. For some reason, I never got that frustrated with this game. And I made it a really large amount of the way through. I'm still playing it. But something about it, I knew that if I just kept trying and I kept like timing, like I kept watching and keeping my timing down pat, like I would get it. So like after three or four or five times, I was able to do these crazy things where the first time you look at them, you're like, I can't do that. That's impossible. Mm-hmm. I must need a new item. But you don't. You just need to think about it.
Mm-hmm. I think it helped that the levels were small and the challenges are all kind of discrete. Like, mm-hmm. At least in the early game, it didn't feel like you had to chain a lot of different challenging things together because, like, you would just get to the next thing and it's like, okay, take a break. Think about your next thing now. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's just how I felt.
Yeah, no, I think I'm right there with you.
So, all right, sweet. Griffin, go.
Hey, okay, my turn. Jeff, you and I, you watched me. Oh, you also played a little Front Mission 3. I played Front Mission 3. I've been continuing to play Front Mission 3. This is one of the few times where after this old game, I've been playing more and more and more, so this awesome. Might be a thing I finished this year, so
that's super cool.
Yeah.
I am playing Elisa's Route, which I've never played before, and it's really weird.
That's okay, so that's the kind of atypical other path, the second path where you're playing is Kasumi. What's his name?
Kazumi, maybe.
Kazumi's sister.
Kazuya.
Yeah, sure.
I love Heihachi.
But it's a totally awesome strategy RPG a la Tactics and Robots and whatnot that you can see on website and YouTube and whatnot that Jeff and I sat and talked about for about an hour playing through it. So
yeah,
that game's fun and it's still fun. And I was totally wrong about getting parts through the simulator, but whatever.
Oh, you can't get them?
Nope.
Oh, nice. Yep. Nobody fact checks the internet, so who gives a shit, right?
Exactly, yeah. Citation needed.
I just edited a picture of a dong into that video, Griffin.
Good. Good. Jeff, you go.
Okay, we're getting down to the okay, here's another game you and I both played, Game & Wario.
Hell yeah! Oh, you played that?
I did play that, because I got it for my Platinum gift, because it was the most expensive one.
Because it was the best of the worst Platinum gifts.
Yeah, they were all pretty bad. and I didn't want to get Dylan, because I didn't want to play Tower Defense. So, Game & Wario, I did all the minigames up until I got Gamer, and then I played Gamer, and I was like, this is really fun. I wish there was more of this. But the minigames that I played up until then were mostly pretty awesome. I was having a great time with all of them.
They're all really good.
Yeah, and I love the stupid little title cards, which they've used before, which are, like, overly dramatic. I think, Griffin, you kind of compared them to, like, bad box art.
No, not bad. Good box art. Like, they remind me of the Atari 26 box art where you're like, Breakout! Breakout doesn't look like this! It's not a spaceman!
They remind me of Mega Man box art, where Mega Man looks completely different and it's just a dude wearing a costume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the favorite one in the family here was the Design the Robot game, where you had to, like, it'd be like, make a circle with it. Draw a circle with a 2-inch radius, and everybody loved that because it was like competitive and fun and simple and easy. It's like draw a 3-inch line, draw a 16-inch squiggly line, and like that was really, really fun for everyone to play.
I've got a 3-inch line I've got to live with every day of my life.
Yeah, there it is.
It's coming out again. First he talks about it, then the water works. I didn't get to the robot game, but I was loving it, the ones that I did play. I thought the arrow game was like stupid fun.
Yeah.
I thought the searching for the missing dudes game was surprisingly fun.
Yeah.
It wasn't great, but it was okay.
It was fine.
Yeah, I was having a good time with it. Skiing game was over like immediately. I heard that one's bad, but I had a good time.
Yeah, I didn't love that one.
What else was there that I played?
The multiplayer games where it's like shoot the pile of little nerds onto the raft or something was fine. I wouldn't say fun. Like I think
the karate jumping game was the worst of all time.
What is the karate jumping game?
The one where you have to jump onto the different things and you have to like angle the Wii pad.
Yeah, it definitely didn't work that great.
That felt like a shitty Flash game.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Gamer's pretty cool.
Gamer is really good.
Yep. It's real great.
Yeah. So is the robot game. That one's, and the bowling is pretty good too.
I haven't played that one yet, I don't think.
Yeah, that's the last game there. Okay.
There
has to be more, too. I just don't know how to get to them.
I don't think so.
Okay.
It's one of those games. That's why I got terrible reviews. If that's the case,
then that's a bummer.
Yep. it's really not like the old WarioWare games. WarioWare for the GBA, when I played that game, it kind of blew my mind how... You like even coming from like way after it came out, like it was like, whoa, like this game... It basically introduced mobile gaming. This is like the genesis of mobile gaming.
Yep.
Whereas this game is like, oh, this game's an okay collection of mini games. Some fun ones for sure, but yeah, I can see why it kind of bombed. But
I mean, that's totally why the gamer was so much fun. Where it's like it's just mini games of old Game & Wario games combined with using the tablet and the TV in conjunction. Like it's that perfect synergy that you can only do with those devices. Super fun, but it just made me want more Game & Wario stuff.
Yeah. Jamie, you should play WarioWare at some point because it will blow your mind.
The GBA one?
Yes. Yeah. I promise. It will blow your, it's, okay. it has an incredible progression. I actually believe this.
It has incredible progressions.
Progression.
Oh, okay.
I prefer Russians.
I was expecting when I heard about that game back in the day, I was like, this is really stupid. I have always been kind of wary about WarioWare, and it is.
You're kind of WarioWare?
Oh! I'm kind of Waluigi about WarioWare. Waluigi! Yeah, you should play it. It's to use my Dark Souls nonsense, it's seminal.
It's seminal?
Yes, it's seminal.
Okay, good.
Okay, Jamie, go.
I played Mario Golf on the 3DS. It's a good game. Yay! It's a golf game.
I really want to play that silly little golf game. Can we play it online with each other if I buy it?
Yeah. It's so good. It's like, it really seems tailor-made for on-the-go play. Like, you can jump into a three-hole round. I love three holes. Three holes. I just try to use as many.
I'm all about three love holes.
There are multiple ways to control it. You can make it a little harder if you want.
Always. Which is
there's three holes and you can make it as hard as you want. I wish that the levels were a little crazier. One of the things that I've come to expect now from multiplayer Nintendo games is that like the level design is going to be like awe-inspiring because that's how Mario Kart 8 is, and these are pretty much like golf courses. There's some crazy ones.
This is where the whole second party thing comes into play. So this is made by Camelot. It's totally different people.
Haven't they been making the same Mario Golf games for the past 5 years though?
More or less, yeah. This one looks cool though. You can use special powers. It's like the Mario Tennis game for the GameCube. You can use like bullet bills and stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, it's pretty instantly. Jamie's saying that it's like not as zany as he would hope. Like, isn't the same? It's the same thing it's been doing for the past 5 years.
Yeah,
I mean, the first Mario Golf Advance on the Game Boy Advance didn't have zany courses. It was like regular ass golf courses.
At least this one seems to have zany power-ups, though, right?
The old one did, too.
Okay. Yeah, some of the power-ups were crazy. And it has a fun, like, you know, sense to it. It has that Nintendo charm. It's just...
Oh, boy. Oh, dear. They're all gone! I'm going to try and call. Oh, jeez. Hello?
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, Griffin, turn your video off.
Your video off? You want to look at my ceiling?
I love your ceiling.
Yeah, sorry.
That is one sexy wood ceiling.
I gotta grab my power charger, I'll be right back.
Got my power charger ready to blow at any time.
So you guys want to talk about golf?
I do. Jamie, is it a fun game to lie in bed and play with each other?
Yep.
I'm gonna buy it.
I want to lie in bed with you and play it, and I want to use three holes, and I want to make it as hard as I want.
It's funny. I have Mario Tennis, and it was decent. This one looks better, though. It looks better than Mario Tennis.
Yeah. I think that it's. I can't even describe it because it's just a fucking golf game.
But it doesn't matter. I like fun golf games. Nothing wrong with that.
What's the PlayStation franchise that Hot Shots. It feels a lot like Hot Shots.
Griffin's iPhone is the eternal guest on this program.
That's what Andy is. Andy is Siri.
I was going to say, you should have seen this awesome video, Jamie, of this crazy golf game involving frogs that they were playing at or around the Awesome Games Done Quick stream. It looked super ridiculous and fun, and I wish I could play that with you guys, but I'm pretty sure it's like PS2 or PlayStation.
I can't wait to play Nidhogg with you
guys. Oh my god, why aren't we doing that sometime, like immediately?
Like all the time.
I don't know. I want to be eating my penis monster. I got to hook up my PC though. I mean, I have my HD PC, which I could play on.
Yeah, it's perfect for HDP.
It is. It is.
On your 5.1 system, have Nidhogg just going.
I would like that. I would quite like that. So are we even being recorded at the moment? I have no idea.
I don't know either.
Hey, remember that really racist thing that you said, Jamie, the other day?
What thing?
Oh, you know.
The thing I said about the Blasians.
Yes.
Oh yeah, I hate them. Choose a side.
Blasian is a funny word.
What's a Blasian?
Black Asian.
Black and Asian.
Wow. Okay, we're not going to go there. speaking of horrible things that are things, I watched the CrossFit Games the other day. That was weird.
Lame.
Can someone who has television tell me what the CrossFit Games is?
Okay, get this. Reebok did something really smart where they took like exercising and personal training and television sports and they turned them all into one thing where they're like, hey, do you want to be on this smart, well-designed exercise program that's pretty intense, but it thrives on group motivation? And then also there's like a big sporting activity that surrounds it with the same brand name, and then we can put our own brand name of sports clothes onto it and shoes and everything, and it's really rad, and the athletes are kind of gross but not super gross, and it's really kind of the worst thing but also not, and fun to watch and also fun to make fun of.
Griffin, yes? can I say two things in response to that?
Uh-huh.
Number one, I recently was having a discussion about whether or not Reebok was still even making shoes. That's number one.
Yep. Well, you're really out of the loop then. Yeah.
Number two, I played Muramasa Rebirth. Do you see what I did there? No, go continue on the CrossFit.
No, game, explain
please.
To me what Muramasa Rebirth is.
I'm glad you went
tentacle octopus things in this game.
It's a game that it's not even worth talking about. I got instantly bored of it.
Oh, the free one for the PS Vita?
Yes, I got it.
I got instantly bored with it as well.
It
came out for the Wii. It was like an Exceed game that was published in the West and is
Exceed? I thought it was Vanillaware.
It was published in the West by
Exceed. Sorry.
But yes,
I never knew they were
a Vanillaware.
Yeah. So it's the same guys who did Dragon's Crown, but it is not fun like Dragon's Crown, not even a little. it's just like a super boring generic action game with like really almost nothing going on in it.
Oh, I see now what you're saying. Totally got it. Super boring action game with nothing going on. CrossFit. Yep. Got it.
Oh. Yep.
I'm right there with you, buddy.
I was just changing the subject from CrossFit because it sounds like the worst thing of all time.
No, yeah. No, you nailed it. Yeah.
I see people doing CrossFit in my gym all the time and they look like idiots. I want to punch them in the face.
What is CrossFit in that context?
CrossFit is when you do all the normal things that you would do to work out, but you do them really obnoxiously in a way that is pretty much guaranteed to hurt yourself.
And you also do it like really fast. Like,
yeah.
Like you don't, you take like a CrossFit
like if you
class
wanna...
is like cooking a full course meal by yourself.
Is CrossFit the new like Colonic or like Justin Bieber or something?
No, but I know what you're going for.
I think it's like a new, it's one of those workout fads that will always be there now.
Yeah. It's essentially it's the opposite of the workout fad of yoga, where like yoga is like, oh man, just like stretch and be relaxed, but also like be strong and it's tough. And this one's like the exact opposite of that, where they're like, everything is intense all the time, but nothing is too hard.
But also, you're pretty much going to just injure yourself immediately.
Yeah, yeah. And then it's like the, it's like a workout regimen that's designed around like tires and sledgehammers and climbing walls.
Guys, what about ketogenics? The keto diet.
Is that like clenching your vagina muscles?
That's where you starve yourself.
Oh, okay.
Literally, it's just starving yourself. It's basically anorexia, except with a cool name.
Cool.
Ketogenics.
Could I fit that into my CrossFit regimen? Just CrossFit with ketogenics?
Well, you can't eat when you're exercising all the time, so yeah. Duh.
I've had people...
I was going to say, I have a good way to describe CrossFit. Imagine someone doing a pull-up at a pull-up bar.
Okay.
But they're doing it normally because they're a normal human being and they're not an asshole.
Okay.
So they're just doing... They're doing a pull-up, and it's fine. They're not making any noises. Now imagine a fish doing a pull-up, but it's a human also, and then it's just flapping all over the place, and it's also screaming.
Okay.
That's CrossFit.
Let me do a callback here to when we were talking about Andy. Andy and I were watching the CrossFit games the other day, and he described it as... The President's Physical Fitness Challenge for adults.
What does that mean?
It means I have to stretch out.
Do I have to stretch out on the stupid thing?
Yeah, yeah. You have to stretch out on the stupid thing, and then after that, you have to run the shuttle relay with two erasers in each hand. But instead of erasers, they're like 50-pound balls. And then next day, you come back and you have to like sit and reach, and then you have to like swim through the ocean for 5 feet, and then you have to ride a bike for like 10 paces.
Is all television just reality TV now, or is that?
Yeah,
or is there
all
like,
television is reality TV.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nothing is not reality. You're right, Jeff.
Okay. Just checking.
Have you seen Face Off on Sci-Fi?
Have you seen Chopped?
Wait, Face Off as in
Nicholas?
No, the show Face Off. Please tell me you didn't.
Not the movie.
There's not the movie. There's a show on Sci-Fi called Face Off. It's a reality show about makeup artists.
Ugh. Fuck off.
Gross.
I'm not joking.
Why?
I'm not joking. You guys don't know about this? It's actually pretty cool. They get
people on
who like did the makeup. Yes, it is. They get people on who did the makeup for things like, you know, Star Trek and stuff, and they have them be the judges, and then the people are like,
is Jar Jar Binks a guest host?
Who?
Is Jar Jar Binks a host?
Mark Summers.
Oh, no.
Not Mark Summers. I wish Mark Summers.
You guys know that every single reality show is fake, right? All of them.
Yeah.
Okay. So says the guy that doesn't watch the reality shows. You don't even know what you're talking about.
You don't even know what you're saying.
You don't know what you're saying. It's all real. Why would it be called reality if it's not real?
So Face Off is a reality show in the vein of Project Runway, in which they are still actually talented in creating something. But I'm sure like whoever wins is completely, but those people are actually making those things.
Yes.
So it's kind of cool to watch.
That's why I like Chopped.
My favorite part of those shows is when I've seen Chopped before, when everything comes right down to the wire.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you're saying the difference
because that actually happens.
The reality is everything's not down to the wire. That's editing, but those people are still creating something within 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Are they, though?
Yeah. Well, it's not 45 minutes in Face Off. It's a couple of days, but they don't... Yeah.
Right.
They definitely manufacture drama, but it's cool to see... it's cool to see people... Like, they'll get really weird challenges, like, make a demon that has something to do with a clock. And then... They'll do that. It's cool. It's just people working with clay to make, like, crazy masks and an outfit. That's cool.
Oh, I heard a dragon with a cock.
Griffin, you can buy those online.
You've shown me, I know.
You sounded so giddy. You're like, you've shown me, I know. I really hate reality TV a lot.
It's pretty terrible. But you know
it's
what?
It's the worst.
It's also not the worst.
I hate what it's done to TV. Like, it's literally the downfall of television.
It is.
It is and it isn't. It's easy to hate it, but you know what? There's still television out there.
It's like, hey, you guys, you know what's really expensive when you make a TV show? Writers.
Let's get rid of those.
And well, actors.
They still have them, though.
Right.
And actors.
right. Like, putting the celebrity as the focal point is super gross. I agree. Like, the faux celebrity is like, what's Snooki up to, Jamie? Well, how is the Shore Store? I think that's all nasty.
She's my spirit animal.
She's your experience animal?
He's referencing
He's my spirit animal.
Oh, I thought you said experience animal, like you experienced the animal side of life with her.
He's referencing a little known commercial for the Nintendo GameCube.
Okay.
It's kind of an inside joke.
I don't. Yep. Yep.
Jamie, you know what I'm talking about.
No, I know how to. I know you. We listened to it recently, or we listened to not that, but another.
Yes.
I just don't know how to explain it to Griffin without him experiencing it firsthand.
It's a Jonathan Holmes thing. He has.
Oh, good.
So he has these ideas that he just like comes up with while he's dreaming for GameCube commercials, mm-hmm. which he basically delivers stream of consciousness, and one of them involved Snooki's spirit animal Consuelo.
Jeff, do you want me to blow your mind?
Yes.
Jonathan Holmes. Is a reality television.
Oh, I know. He was on Road Rules.
It's not actually Stream of Conscious.
No!
I think Griffin didn't even know that he was on Road Rules, and that was just a coincidence that he said that. Holmes was actually on Road Rules. Did you know that?
No, I had no idea. I never watched Road Rules. I don't even know what... What is Road Rules?
Road Rules was the OG reality show on MTV in the 90s where they would – there was that and another one.
The Real
and
World.
And on Road Rules
– Big Brother?
Yeah, The Real World.
Okay. The Real World was the OOG.
Yeah. Road Rules was The Real World but on the road.
Yes.
That would make sense based on its name.
Yeah.
Speaking of Blasians, Jonathan Holmes.
John Holmes.
Jesus.
No, he routinely mentions that he's a gray person.
That's great. Well, anyway,
go on. Sorry.
Do you guys play anything else you want to talk about?
Oh, I think I did.
I played everything, man. I can't even remember the things I played.
That's why you got to use the document. You got to use the document. God damn
Fuck
it!
Fuck the document. Fuck it. Fuck you.
All right, I'm gonna name another thing unless you want to, Griff. Go, Griff.
I played the Yakuza, but that's not important.
I played the Shovel Knight. I played it. It was a great game.
Yeah, great game.
Yeah. I played Pikmin 3, and that game is super cool. I have a little more to say about it, but not too much. More than other things. It's I was like not really excited about Pikmin 3 because it's RTS and I suck at RTS is basically the long and the short of it. And I thought this is the one Nintendo property that I'll never want to touch because I can't handle it. It's too stressful to manage all the different types, but it's super awesome and it's super accessible and the controls are perfect and it definitely eases you in. It's not that hard, but it's like it feels like there are some consequences, and the way in which you're timed every day is really cool because it forces you to play the game in like bite-sized chunks. Jamie, have you played it?
I've only played day one and two, but I'm loving it.
Okay, it's pretty great. I'm really hoping you'll try it, Griffin, and maybe we can talk about it more.
Yeah, you already conned me into committing to saying I will play it this year, so I will play it this
year. Yeah. Try to pick it up cheaper because I think it's I don't know I don't want you to have a bad experience at full
price. I will
price,
rent it. Don't you worry. I will play it objectively at a low cost.
Okay. All right. Good.
I have no intentions of buying this game that I have no interest in.
Yeah, I got it through Mario Kart, and that's the perfect way for me to like approach it with no expectations at all. And it's been really awesome. It's been paying huge dividends for me. I think
it's paying you dividends.
Is that bad to say that?
You were getting paid out by... You were on the take?
That's why I like it, because it's paying me money.
Holy. You're a journalist now. You've
Congratulations.
Reached...
Welcome to YouTube.
Yeah.
Wasn't that a news story that I don't think we ever touched on, how some of the top YouTubers were getting just directly handed bags of money by... Well, not bags of money, but getting paid to promote games?
I don't think it's very interesting because it's pretty common knowledge.
Yeah, I think people. It's. I think the tendency though is to believe that those individuals are above being paid off.
I think the people that watch YouTube videos for their games journalism don't care about the objectivism of their video game critiques. So it's a moot point.
I want all my video game critiques to reference Ayn Rand.
Yeah. Me too.
You too?
Yeah.
Okay, good, me too.
Everything is about the what is it, the unseen chain, the unmoved mover.
The prime mover?
Prime mover.
Atlas Shrugged?
Optimus mover.
Who is John Galt?
If one train left the station in 2011, moving at the rate of Atlas Shrugged Part 1, Episode 1, and another train left the station at Atlas Shrugged Episode Never Gonna Happen, when did they meet?
Pikmin 3 is also really beautiful. Every time I play it, Jessica's like, wow, this is really, really pretty.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's funny because I remember playing the original Pikmin on GameCube when it first came out, and I was like, this looks amazing.
Yep.
And I feel that way about this one, too.
Hmm. Yeah, it's gorgeous. Also, all the fruits that you find have adorable names.
Okay.
Like, I can't remember what the lime is called, but it's like Pucker Plant or something.
Hmm.
And you find a cell phone and it's like Data Gobbler or something. Ah, they're all adorable.
Oh, it like Lego Movie adorable? Like the exact, the Blade of Exact Zero?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, Jamie, you saw it,
right? Did you see
it? Yeah, I watched it. I loved it. I absolutely. You know who else loved it? Andy.
Andy. Tell Andy that he can never have what we have. Jamie, and that he should stop trying.
Can you bring Andy back on again?
Yeah. I'm trying to be good friends with Griffin, but I will never be as good friends as Griffin and Jamie are. I know that.
Jamie, go. What'd you play?
I played the entirety
Andy,
of The Wolf
what'd
Among
you
Us.
Play?
I played the entirety of The Wolf Among Us.
No, you didn't. That's not on Xbox One.
I played that.
Did you replay Rise again?
I played Riddick again.
Did you pour one out for Crytek?
Hey,
as you played
whoa,
Rise again?
Whoa, whoa, yeah. Whoa, whoa! Riddick is a good game.
Yeah, I know.
Okay,
I know.
All right.
All right, go ahead, Jamie. Sorry, you finished Wolf Among Us. Go. Was it good?
It's good.
Still good.
The last episode has a kind of epic, almost boss battle, which I was surprised because it doesn't. They don't change the controls, so you're still just tapping. But it really does feel like an epic boss battle that it actually feels like you could lose, because for the first time ever in the last episode during this said boss battle and during a chase scene, you have a life bar. And if you keep fucking up, the life bar goes down. And I presumably if you fuck up too much, you will die, which hasn't happened in any Telltale game yet. Like just having a life bar that continues to persist as the scene trundles on.
Nice use of trundle.
Thanks. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Awesome.
And I thought the story maintained a constant level of excellence. Yeah, good game.
So would you recommend that I grab it for iPad, Jamie?
I can't really recommend it to anyone because if you're not like immediately drawn in by the other things that Telltale has done, such as The Walking Dead.
I love The Walking Dead.
Okay, so then go. But if you're even lukewarm about Walking Dead, then you're going to feel the exact same way about The Wolf Among Us because it's the exact same game. But it does have more of a cohesive tone, more of a cohesive art style, more of a cohesive like voice.
Can I interrupt for a second here?
Yes.
If you have to choose one Telltale episodic based game for the year to play, what in your mind, Jamie, for you, not the objective listener, was better?
For America.
For America. Which one was a better story, enjoyable experience, narrative, video game, comic book thing you played?
Wolf Among Us. Because it... the story... I really like noir stories where what you're expecting to happen the entire time happens, but in like a smart way that you weren't necessarily anticipating. I enjoyed that. And cool. some of the best denouement in any, you know, any series, any serial, anything I've ever experienced is in Wolf Among Us.
That has denouement in it, and it doesn't have an M rating or like an adults only rating. Kind of surprised by that.
There are boobies in it, so there's that. If you want that,
sign me and my giant erection up.
yeah. So like things really get tied up at the end, and things. I think that Griffin, it still would not. You wouldn't get the sense that you were changing the world enough, but. It offers so much opportunity for role-playing in the moment, this game does, more so than The Walking Dead. For example, like whether or not you rough up someone that you're interrogating in the game. Like when you're interrogating someone in this game, you have four options. Three of them will be questions, and the fourth option will just be like punch. So, or burn with cigarette.
I mean,
so,
like, I wish Jamie, the options were, well, yeah.
To yeah. not derail your opinion, but from what I've heard is you can make certain choices and they will then exclude certain other options early on in the game. So, I mean, it goes to like, you actually can have some agency in the game. Like,
yeah.
The choices you make actually do matter.
Yes, that is... Did you just ask what choices you make that actually matter?
No, I was just saying, like, I've heard that that's the case. Like, you can actually make choices, and then that bars you from certain parts in the game, which I would assume then changes the outcome of certain things to some degree, more so than the Lee story in Walking Dead.
Yes, actually, now that you mention it, like, there are sections in the game, not in the final episode, but in previous episodes, where the game will make very clear to you that the clock is actually ticking, and you have two places that you can potentially visit. You can only go to one of them. If you go to one of them, you will miss whatever happens at the other place. So you have to make that choice. And you make a lot of those choices in the third and fourth episodes. And then the fifth episode is kind of like a wild ride that plays out kind of like lightning in a bottle, but it is very informed by those decisions that you made in the previous episodes.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So, yeah. The whole thing culminates in, like, the actual boss battle at the end of the game is a conversation. The arch nemesis, who I won't say to prevent from, you know, for spoilers, but the arch nemesis at the very end of the game is trying to argue his way out of punishment, and
this sounds exactly like Phoenix Wright, by the way.
Yeah, and I actually does have a lot of things in common, and depending on what you did, like, did you rough up those guys you were interrogating? Where did you choose to go first, and what did you do when you went there? People who are watching the arch nemesis plead his case will act accordingly and say things according to how you acted in those instances, which
is
pretty cool.
That sounds way better than the end of Walking Dead 1. So, if I was not already committed to playing one of these games at the end of the year, you've already swayed me a million times more in the direction of Wolf Among Us. So,
yeah, it's cool. And I really like the art. I think if you take a look at a screenshot and you're like, that looks cool, this game will never let you down. Even the environments are just very well done. good stuff.
You said that, when you said there's four conversation options, Jamie, the thing I immediately thought of was Oblivion. with the influence system where you have to do the four things on the stick. With the taunt joke, bribe and insult or whatever.
Some of those are there. Like it'll be like burn him with a cigarette, like give him a drink, and then the other two will be questions. So it's kind of like wide open. And a lot of the times the
Stranger.
In The Walking Dead, you have the option to say nothing, which they remind you constantly is a valid choice, but it never really is in The Walking Dead. I feel like in this game a couple times I just couldn't come up with something to say in time, so I said nothing, but it was like a valid choice, and it actually felt like my silence had an effect, which is cool.
That's really cool. Okay.
That sounds exciting.
I don't know if you guys will agree with me, but I hope that you at least give it a shot.
I think I will. I maybe am ready to go back to a Telltale game on the iPad.
iPad's the way to do it.
Yeah, that sounds like that's what the thing to do. Yep.
I'm Rad.
Wolf Among Us runs so much better than The Walking Dead also.
Good. Also, I hate The Walking Dead, so I will be more than likely to play Wolf Among Us because I like that game or that series.
Griffin, go. What'd you play?
Fables. I played a game called...
Looks like Skyblazer.
Fuck Skyblazers. Yeah.
Fuck Skyblazer. You heard it here first.
Fuck Skyblazers. Watch me play Skyblazers on an upcoming video in this old game. Fuck Skyblazers.
Skyblazers!
It's not Mega Man X, so there you go.
It's not Mega Man X. Put that in the box.
Next one. Go. Who's Jeff?
Hold up, I'm putting my glasses back on. I'll talk about... Fuck the Destiny beta, it's a piece of shit.
Hey,
Earthbound.
Whoa. You're right.
Yes, I am.
Let's talk about that later, though. I think the Destiny...
Yeah, okay, Destiny, fine.
We can talk on that briefly.
Yeah, briefly. Earthbound, I played that.
Yay.
Earthbound... I think when I was talking to you guys last, I was like, hey, this is a good game, but it doesn't seem as good as Mother 3. I still stand by that, but once you get to Foresight in Earthbound, that game opens up in a big way and reveals its riches to you. When I say you, I mean me. Once I got to Foresight, which is like the fourth town in the game, everything just kind of fell into place, and I was like, this is a really solid, amazing game.
Can I reveal my riches to you?
Please. You have so many times before, yet I never tire of them. it had so many awesome moments. The music just got 1,000 times more amazing. It had that touching stuff that I come to expect from the series. These kind of poignant images and moments, which I was really happy about. And just like really weird things like dropping into a hole and falling into a giant prehistoric world where your character is ant-sized and you fight dinosaurs. And it was just really great. I had a really amazing time with, I guess I could say, like the latter 50 to 60% of the game. Was really fantastic. I wish it wasn't so slow to get off the ground, but once I got there, I loved it. So you guys should play it. Finish it. Neither of you have finished it, right?
How much dollars is
it?
No,
I never finished it. I got to $10. Where you were, Jeff, and that was just like, it was awesome, but it was too much, and I had other things going on.
Yeah, I understand. I think it's $10 on Virtual Console.
Thank you. For
I actually, please understand. I actually, I played it mostly on the gamepad itself because my house was in complete disarray during the time that I was playing it, and it's really nice to kind of snuggle up with a gamepad and play that game.
Mm-hmm.
It's well suited to a handheld, so yeah. That's all about Earthbound. It's really great. You guys should definitely play it. But Mother 3 is better, and you both need to play and finish, or else I'm gonna be so sad.
Well, maybe when I can play it legally, I will.
It's never gonna happen, Griffin.
I know. I'm just needling you.
I know.
Okay. I think that's all the games I played other than Destiny. So, Jamie, you got anything left?
Jamie, go!
I played a really shitty game made by the guy who's making Video Ball on the Vita called Tuffy the Corgi, which is the worst. Never play that game.
The worst.
The worst.
Griffin, you played some Persona?
I played Persona. I am in the back 10th of the game. 100 hours deep.
100 hours is a super major turnoff for me.
100? Fuck you. You play 100-hour games all the time.
Not as much as I used to.
You play games for 100 hours all the time.
I played Isaac for like 400 hours.
You play games all the time. Why not just make it one? It's so much easier.
Whoa!
You know, it's time to commit to just one game for the rest of your life. There comes a time in every man's life when you need to settle down and choose one game for the next $100 of your life.
That game? Dota 2.
Boy meets game. Game.
Maybe make some solemn vows.
Yeah, make
New Jersey.
Vow. Yep.
At a farm.
And then
towards the game.
You have little baby games together.
Can the Pizza Vita truck be there?
And it's a fighting game.
So tell me what you thought of the Destiny beta, Griffin.
The Destiny beta was fine. It was totally like the alpha.
Yep.
Except it calmed my suspicions very, very slightly in that this wasn't... I was worried it wasn't going to be a single-player game, and this game, like, the way it started was like, oh, yeah, here's your single-player exposition. Fine. Good. Go with it.
Yeah, but what if it's like Dragon Quest X, where you're single-player after level 10, and then you're not single-player anymore?
What if it's like Dragon Quest X, and I stop playing? Okay, great. I mean, that's... Yeah. I don't know if that's a good question. I would hope... Based on what they've shown,
is
if they have that design in mind of like, you know, we want to make this for a single person player, but you can also play it with multiple people. That's cool. It definitely seems that way with how they design dungeons and whatnot. And the fire teams seem to be the only thing that require multiple players. The beta, like I said, started from point zero to point 8, which is what we've already seen before. They did some other stuff with like the moon. Nothing of surprise there. They did some balancing, and I think the most egregious thing they did was take out that wizard came from the moon line.
I was going to say that wizard didn't come from the moon anymore.
Nope, he did not, which is a huge bummer because that means they're backpedaling on that, and that really makes me sad.
That game, nothing seems to be added. That's what we saw in the alpha and the beta. That's pretty much what you're going to play.
Well, there was some balancing, and there was a better game in the beta for a single player. But I am nervous about the full game, but I'm also really excited for the full game because it's going to trick me like... WoW did, and like all games did, like that are in that same vein where it's like, oh, I'm gonna do the same thing 5 times, I'm okay with it. I'll do it 5 times, and then the 6th time I'll be tired.
Yeah, it was like the second time around, it was just utterly tepid. I was just like, wow, like this is all we get. This is it.
Yeah,
I was just really, really bummed out by just how little depth and variety there seemed to be. So yeah.
I would hope, I am still holding out hope that there will be more. But if there's not, I will still have a good go at it and be done.
Okay.
So,
yay!
Multiplayer still sucks. Yay!
Yep. It's like Halo, except worse.
I don't like when it MMO, I don't like MMO bosses. I don't like when you just keep shooting something and then it like...
Never dies.
It never dies, even if, like, logically, like, you shot its armor off. Now you should kill it.
It definitely seemed like in the beta, the bosses have been toned down a bit. I played the fire team against the ones we played as an alpha, and those guys were neutered significantly to a point where you could actually feasibly play them with real human beings. It wasn't like what you might want. I think like still the tank took way too much time and the end boss was still super boring and uninteresting, but everything was like cut down in time by about 20 minutes. So I was pretty good about that.
Have they come out and said there's going to be like more content and the level cap's going to be high, or
no,
are they staying
that's
quiet
the really
that?
Fucking
actually,
weird thing.
What they did say, Jamie, is that there's going to be one map per planet. So that map that we play that you've been playing on Earth, that's it.
Heard that, and at first, when I heard that, I said, "What's the big deal? There could be tons of planets." But now I'm realizing there's probably not going to be tons of planets.
There'll be about four, and the Earth map had more areas compared to the Alpha. Like there are, I found areas that had dudes you couldn't kill. Like it was, you would shoot them, and they would say immune. So that was kind of cool.
Oh, okay. Well, hopefully there's a lot of those.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I mean, I think my nervousness is mostly around, like, to what end, you know, with, like, the Borderlands, it's like, oh, I can explore this area that may be slightly more challenging for my level, and then I will unlock this chest and get new guns that are cooler and more badass than what I have right now. But in this game, that just doesn't exist. So it's like, to what end do you want to explore new areas? Well, I guess just to get so I guess we're still in
that
mindset.
It has that terrible MMO balancing where just nothing is fun. Everything is fair. To the point of just being bland as hell.
If you're saying
you're
like the
it's Diablo 3 all over again.
Yep.
Smooth out those wrinkles.
But I think that what makes the difference in this game is for me the shooting dudes is really fun. Like the combat side of it is more fun than Borderlands. It has like the intensity of like a real legit shooter. So I'm liking that. That's why I keep replaying it.
I guess I would rather just be stupid like Borderlands. Like, I like the first Borderlands a lot. And even the second Borderlands felt a little bit too, like, balanced for me. I was just like, this isn't dumb like the first game. I don't know.
I'm with you. I'm totally with you. And I agree with Griffin as well that the shooting feels great, but I mean,
yeah, I agree too. I like the shooting. Yeah.
At the end of the day, I mean, I feel like it's such, the world is so bland.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I hope based on the progression from the Alpha to the Beta, they've made a case to show that there is a story there and something that I care about. So fine.
Hopefully.
Like, hopefully it expands, you know, at an exponential rate as it has done from Alpha to Beta. So hopefully the full game will be just even more explosively enjoyable.
Let me tell you guys, well, you don't have to worry about four maps in the entire game. The greatest game of all time only has one map.
Dota 2.
Dota 2.
Dota 2. Oh, my God. Hearing Brad talk about Dota 2 on the Giant
guys,
Bomb
I'm really test. Into Dota 2. Kidding.
Okay, good.
Okay, good.
Oh, thank God. Whew, that was a close one. Because Griffin, you totally would get on this podcast one day and totally be nonchalant about it. Like, yeah, I was at this bar and like I met this guy and we was playing Dota 2 on a laptop. So I started playing and I put 200 hours in and it's all right. That's what you would say. That's exactly what
No, it would be more like, well, you know, Hunter all of a sudden really got into Dota 2, so I've just been watching him play for the last 65 hours of my life, and I think it's pretty rad. Like, my same feelings about Call of Duty. Like, I'm like, I think it's actually pretty good.
Does Hunter actually ever play Dota 2?
No, fuck. That's on a computer. He doesn't give a shit.
Call of Duty is not nearly as insidious as Dota 2. I'm going to put it out there right now.
I feel like there's going to be like a Dota 2 colony out in the desert somewhere. And it's going to be like Burning Man, but all the time. And it's going to be for all the Dota 2 people. And they just live there.
If Valve and Blizzard's recent output is what PC gaming is to some people, I don't want to be a part of that.
It's been what PC gaming is to a lot of people for a long time, though.
Yep, I hate that. It's the worst.
But I don't think it's what PC gaming is to most.
All right. I think it's what PC gaming is to a lot. I think Team Fortress 2 is pretty good, and I like StarCraft.
StarCraft is great. What was the other one you like, Griffin?
Team Fortress 2?
I don't like that game.
No, okay. Well,
right. StarCraft was fun.
Whatever my cousin Jesse plays is that game for the next 2 years. So, or 3 or 4 years in the case of Dota. So a couple of years ago, Jesse was like, hey, have you heard of like Dota and League of Legends and stuff? And I was like, no. He's like, I play those all the fucking time. And before that, he played StarCraft. And he played a little bit of StarCraft 2. And he played a ton of WoW. And he played Team Fortress 2. And he loved Counter-Strike.
CSGO.
So we'll know. We'll just, he's our gauge.
I think it's easy to hate on this stuff. Like, I think it's easy to be like, well, that's, you're just Dota. Blah. You don't play real games. You play Dota. It's the same thing as like Madden and FIFA and all that. Like, it's easy to crap on the people that really enjoy it. But, you know, obviously if it's the most popular game ever with League of Legends and whatnot, like, there has to be some merit to it.
Although, is League of Legends the most popular game ever?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
It is the, yes. Definably, yes.
Jamie, EDM. League of Legends is the EDM.
Oh, God.
The video game scene.
What is it?
Thankfully, EDM,
electronic
hasn't destroyed.
Electronic dance music?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I like how they put the techno music in it.
Griffin, I understand where you're coming from. I'm not wild about the business model for League of Legends. The way in which it... I don't like the way that those games demand so much of your time or demand so much of your money.
But I think that... neither of them do either, Jeff. Like, neither of them... Dota 2, there is zero money transactions at all. Like, you do not need to pay for anything in Dota 2. I don't know enough about League of Legends, but I think there is a little bit more cash flow involved with that one. But with Dota 2, like, you do not have to pay anything.
Every single person I've talked to about League of Legends has spent like over $200 on League of Legends.
Well,
I've not met a single person.
It's the same thing with Clash of Clans, like the most high profiting game on the iPod and iPhone and whatever, iPad. Like, you can spend the money, it's just you don't have to, and you can still have a good time. There's no barrier.
But you will, or else. But you're not going to have a good time.
There's no or else for Dota. Like, you can have cosmetic changes. That's it. There's no, like, skill level boosts that you get in Dota. With League, you're getting more characters, so maybe you can have somebody that you're more comfortable with in a more regular scene. But I really don't think there's any insidiousness with any of those games as there are in other, like, free-to-play, quote-unquote, games. I think that, like, Madden and FIFA are a million times more gross than Dota and League of Legends, because those games actually demand that you pay them money.
So I don't know about Dota. Does Dota have... can you pay to unlock heroes and stuff?
No.
No.
Okay. So Dota 2 is not like League of Legends. So you don't find, like, mobile games that demand money for your time scummier than Madden?
Do I think that mobile games that demand money for my time are scummier than Madden? I don't... Can you explain more about that? I don't understand how they're similar and how that relates to Dota. Uh-oh. Oh, just me here. Okay, well, that's probably why. Well, try another phone call, or take a break. Music.
Don't have any. Don't have any. Don't look at the ceiling. Don't look at the. Hey.
So Clash of Clans. Let me just ask you real quick. Clash of Clans. Okay. That game. I'm assuming it makes you either wait or play it a lot in order to unlock stuff, or you can pay more money to unlock more stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That model to you is less reprehensible than Madden's model.
Well, I guess I know FIFA more, so can you is that the same feelings towards FIFA?
What's gross about FIFA's model?
FIFA, I guess now thinking about what you're saying with Madden is like, if you want to play with the best characters, you have to play it a bunch and get points, and then you buy new cards with those points. Yeah, it's the same as FIFA, and then you need to keep buying contract cards to keep your character cards legit, and you can pay real money for them, or you can pay in-game bucks.
It's worse because you have to pay for the base package, but it's the same idea. Okay, never mind. I think they feel
like it's either you pay nothing and you can have everything, or you can have more at a price, or you pay something and you have everything and you can pay more at a price. Like they're both the same coin, different heads. Nope, you guys still here?
Hey, sorry about that.
Oh, hello.
I got dropped for a second there.
Drop, like it's...
Jamie, you there?
Hot. Hot.
Is Jamie gone now?
Hot.
Jamie's gone.
H-O-T-T.
Oh, he's back.
H-O-M-O-B-A. Oh,
he's gone.
Hot. Hot. Well, let me explain here my thought process as we're getting this together. I think that those things are kind of gross because they're more like, this is my like terrible like Margaret Thatcher what was the wife of Bush Senior, whoever, like the person that made the games. Kind of
Laura Bush,
Barbara Bush.
Barbara Bush.
Yeah, like the
Jamie needs to be added back to the call, by the way, and he can't get back in.
Jamie.
So we need to hang up and get back going.
Yeah, go for it. I'll just sit here and talk.
Okay.
So you know, it's that same kind of thing where it's like, it's dangerous to the children because. It's easy to look at the situation as can you spend a dollar or two to get ahead, or can you work hard and not really worry about it and enjoy the game at the base level and reap the benefits later? Well, obviously the choice is spend the money, get the thing. And I think FIFA and Madden are really guilty of that, just from my firsthand experience watching it being played. But then also, you know, that's definitely not there. Like, having watched it get played a lot, like, there comes a point where it's like, well, you don't really need to buy the newest and best. Like, you can get it all through the in-game currency. So I kind of feel the same way about Dota and probably, you know, League of Legends, I think, is a little different because of how you have to buy the heroes if you have to. But it's still, it's like, you know, it kind of forces you to learn something new, which is cool.
Well, let me speak for the ghost of Jamie, since apparently his internet shit the bed. While you were gone, he was saying that I think what bothers him about these games, and I tend to agree, and this is why I hated Hearthstone immediately, is that if you want to be good at these games, you need to play them for like 400 hours.
Okay.
Like, that's just like the barrier to entry. And I think that's it's like when you play that game, it's the only game you play.
Okay.
And it reduces, I think, diversity in game land. I don't know. I'm going to try to add Jamie again, though.
Well, I think that you're absolutely right. Like, having that high barrier to entry is challenging. But, I mean, if you're saying, like, if I look at it that way, then I'm like, well, I will never be really good at Mario of any kind because these speedrunners are doing it in like 1 hour. So why would I even consider playing a game? Because these guys can beat it in 1 hour and have the top of the scoreboard.
Well, here's my answer to that. I think these games are centralized around the best players. I think not maybe the best players, but they're centralized around, I think their community tends to be hostile to people who are like
who are
noobs.
New. Yeah.
Essentially, like there's not really a good place for them.
But it's but like then don't you think that on that same, you said the word right there where it's like it's a community. Like if there was three people that jumped into the game together, not really knowing much, wouldn't you learn together and play together and you wouldn't have to have that hostility beating down on you because you're all in it together?
I don't know. Hey, let's switch over to Jamie's call real quick.
Jamie's call.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. I don't know how to switch over to Jamie's call, but it's probably here. So, oh, did we get it? I don't know if we got it. You were in a call. Oh, all right. Answering. Hello.
Hey, we're back. Jeff, you're literally in the bathroom.
Jeff's in the bathroom.
No.
I saw Curtain.
See that face. Oh, I'm so tired.
Curtain. Oh, crystal clear.
Yeah, look at it. Look at it.
It's so intense.
My eyes are probably super red because I'm tired.
Because he's
Jamie, I made the point that you have to play a lot of time and times. And Griffin was saying, well, how's that any different than like saying I'll never be good at Mario because of speedrunners? And I said that I thought that the games tended to be centralized around the better players for like Dota and stuff. But Griffin, tell me your point again about community.
Well, I'm saying like if you're saying the most challenging thing about Dota is that you as an individual will never be good, well, isn't it kind of a community game? So wouldn't your success be like, wouldn't your success be more contingent on like who you entered the game in with? Like if you just jumped in there cold, like you may have a hard time, but it's the same kind of thing with like a fighting game. Like if you're playing there with people that you knew in a community and you joined a team, like you could all build up together and have a good time. But if you just were like, hey, I'm going to start playing Street Fighter on the competitive level right now, like you would have a hard time with that. Whereas if you were like, I'm going to play Street Fighter with friends and then eventually maybe, you know, two of us will go into a more competitive realm and then one of us will actually go into the finals or something.
But it seems like you don't even have that first option because you get yelled at for sucking. Like
in a
played
Dota
match. No, but that's
you,
how.
So you haven't actually played it.
No, but I've. That but definitely you, happens.
You people haven't get, actually played it to see that happen.
It's the evolutionist argument.
Yes, I have never witnessed evolution occurring on my lifetime, but.
No, it's not I've an evolution from, argument. It's have you played Dota ever?
I've never played Dota. I'm not saying that I have.
Well, then I know there's a lot of talk on the internet that says it's hard to get into it. But
no, I've heard talk from friends, so people that I know.
Uh huh.
So I've never played Dota. If you ask again, I'll tell you the exact same thing.
Uh-huh.
So there's no need to ask again. But I have never played Dota, but I've heard from both my cousin who plays Dota and from people who play League. That in both games, even there's hardly a beginner's area, and you actually get reported for doing poorly. Like they will report you, like and you'll say, "Hey, I'm just starting out," and they're like, "I don't care, I'm reporting you." It seems so, and it seems like you need to spend so much time just to be okay. That's where my problem is, you know.
No, I
just
don't
to
know,
not
because...
be griefed because you suck.
Well, and
I
what
think
I'm
what Griffin's saying
like,
is like if you play
okay,
like,
so if
with only your buddies.
Yeah, if you play with people that you know, if you go in there with a group of three people and you say, okay, we're going to be in here. We're all buddies and we all suck together. Let's start. Or here are three people that I know who play this game already, and they'll help me out, then does that not change the scene drastically to your one complaint of it's unapproachable?
Well, how many times are those people going to be together? You know, like I played StarCraft with a core group of friends, but they weren't always around. And if I wanted to play StarCraft, I could. But, and I didn't need to worry. If I sucked, I would lose, and that would be it.
I just don't think it's valid to fault the game because don't.
Are you saying that it's not hostile to new players?
I'm saying
because that's
don't
just
hate
flat
the
out
game,
wrong.
Hate the players.
I think what he's trying to say is he's like, okay, is the game inherently hostile, or is it just that the community that it's developed is bad? So are you upset about the community or the game?
Dota and League are two different animals, as I understand it. Dota has a bunch of like just straight up bullshit in it carried over from Warcraft 3.
I played the Warcraft 3 Dota. Yeah.
Which is like just obtuse. So Dota 2, it could be argued from what I hear, I've never played it. From what I hear, it could be argued that that game is inherently player hostile. I've heard that League is more cleaned up. League is more like there's no like weird stuff happening just because this is a mod. So I guess they're different in those regards. So I guess, yeah, but in both I hear that the player communities are just terrible.
Well, I mean, I think that in any kind of, you know, hardcore, aggressive, competitive video game scene, you always have to deal with like this kind of bottom of the barrel, aggressive, angry, no new players allowed kind of mentality. But if you're saying that the game is actually intentionally difficult to new players, like I can see what you're saying in the comparison to Dota and League. But I think that if you're saying the games are bad and they deserve less merit because of those cultures that surround them, I disagree with you, because I think there is a way to infiltrate those communities and be a part of them, and also put your pride aside and just try hard and be good in them. And you're saying like they're bad because they require like 100% devotion. That's kind of how the mentality is right now. Like you have to devote yourself very intensely to one game.
I think you're kind of making the argument that you can separate these games from like their context. And for me, like that's part of it. Like I don't like, yeah, maybe Dota would be fun or maybe I don't admittedly like,
I mean, there's a bunch of shit here going on because none of us have played Dota competitively or League.
Exactly.
I mean, I've played Dota enough to know that I don't like the game.
Mm. Yeah. Like I've never played Dota. So I mean,
and I played the Warcraft 3 mod.
but when I have expressed interest in playing these games to friends who do, I have one friend who, so my cousin plays Dota, and I have one good friend who plays League a lot. And both times, with both games, when I say, hey, can I play that game with you? Both my cousin and my friend are like, no. And I'm like, oh. And they're... And I'm like, why not? And they're like, well, you'd be bad. I'd be like, okay. And like, you couldn't train me up so I could at least be proficient in like a couple hours. And they're like, no. So
I think that's a flaw on those people's side.
So yeah, Griffin's saying like, if you had buddies, you could play it with them, which is probably true. It just comes down to me not being that interested in MOBAs.
Yeah. I mean, it's also like, you know, what if I went to play StarCraft with some super hardcore players and I was like, I played Warcraft in 1992. Can you explain to me how to be in Pearl League in StarCraft? They'd be like, no, you fucking idiot. Go play the campaign.
Can I say one other thing about these games? So I think that what I've witnessed, and maybe this is what Jamie's kind of, what might bother Jamie too, is games like StarCraft, like those games were designed to have competitive value. But I felt like those games were like first and foremost, like they were like games that were like made to be fun. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like modern competitive gaming is built first as a competitive game. Mm-hmm. That's what turned me off about like, you know, StarCraft 2 when I played it, Diablo 3 when I played it, Hearthstone when I played it. games that are built around like the top players and around the top strategies, and the entry level experience suffers because of it. Like, I hate playing a game and then I'm just immediately curb stomped and I'm like, wow, this game is so unwelcoming to me until I like get a PhD in how to understand it.
Generally, like, speaking, whether it's a board game or a video game or whatever, I think that the best games are the ones where you enjoy even when you're losing. And I feel like
I have a question for you guys, and I'm going to take a quick step away here, and I'm going to ask it. Actually, I'll ask it right now, and maybe you can discuss it. Has there been a game in the last 5 years that you think was a competitive multiplayer-based game that you actually enjoyed?
Last 5 years?
Yeah.
Titanfall.
In the last console generation, has there been a video game, or even one before it, was there a game that you felt like you really sunk yourself into and your time and your energy and you had a good time with because of its multiplayer values?
Melee was fun for me. And I like Diablo 2, although that wasn't really multi. I mean, it was multiplayer, but it wasn't competitive first and foremost. But it had a scene.
I like that Titanfall game there. That one with the robots.
The bit I played of it was pretty fun.
The robot game. I don't play very many multiplayer games, I guess. I played the new StarCraft. I didn't like it as much as the old one.
Why didn't you like it?
I don't know. I felt like, first of all, I felt like it was almost exactly the same. Like, it felt identical. Mm. It felt like a graphical expansion. At least the campaign did. And I played a little bit of the multiplayer with Axel. Mm-hmm. And I thought that I didn't like it because people seemed to know the maps really well, and like, I don't like that.
So it kind of seems like there's a trend with you guys not liking multiplayer competitive games in the last mature phase of your life. And one of the things that is a resounding factor is that other people are better. So
no,
maybe
there
is something going on with this MOBA trend that is happening.
No, Griffin, see, I think what it is,
that's not what I said at all. I love Titanfall. I lose all the time.
I tend to not like any competitive games.
Okay.
I think that the games that I do like that are competitive are like competitive in spite of themselves, or weren't primarily designed around being competitive, because those are still fun to play. I think that the games
can you give me an example?
Like, I had a blast playing the original StarCraft, even though I was just balls awful at it.
Okay.
I had a blast playing Melee, which I don't think was designed as a competitive game.
And is there something you think in the current age that you are terrible at that you enjoy playing for the funsies of it?
Let me think.
Titanfall.
I don't own Titanfall. I only played it like two
I'm just. I feel like Griffin is just ignoring what I'm saying entirely.
Titanfall. Like, go ahead, Jamie. Titanfall.
No, I love playing Titanfall. I am awful at Titanfall. My record in Titanfall is abysmal. Mm-hmm. But I am getting better as I play. But what's fun is not getting better for me. What's fun is just playing the game. It's a well-designed game that allows me to have fun even when I'm losing. Mm-hmm. Whereas a game like League of Legends or Dota sounds like it's fun for nobody.
But
you've never even
played those games. So you don't have a leg to stand on there.
Pause the podcast. We gotta play League of Legends, Jamie.
Yeah.
Time.
I said sounds like, and it sure. I mean, you can tell me, Griffin, you've played it. When you're losing League of Legends, is it fun?
Well, I've never played Dota, League of Legends, but I mean, I don't know enough about the game to care. So, you know, I can always lose at multiplayer games and still have fun with them. So it doesn't matter to me. You know, that's why I'm saying, Jamie, maybe if you had played this game, you could actually just have a good hoot and holler with it, with people yelling at you in the chat menu and you still having a good time playing it, just like you would be with, you know, something like a first person shooter with giant robots.
I don't, have you guys ever played Diplomacy? The like not
yes, board, I've, board yes, game? Yes, I've played it, yeah.
So you know how you can backstab people in Diplomacy?
Mm-hmm.
So there was a really great This American Life about a guy who went to a diplomacy competition and he backstabbed somebody, which he did all the time playing with his friends. And this guy flipped out, flipped the board over, started screaming, and like reported him to the officiant of the, and I feel like I've never played the games, but I feel like that's the attitude around these new multiplayer games. It's like, if you fuck up, I'm going to go ape shit, flip a table over. Whereas,
don't you hear about all these people who are playing it and having a good time with it, having fun? You think they're just like liars and
no, I don't think they're liars. I think that they probably invest a huge amount of time to be even at the point where they can not be yelled at, not be griefed. Okay. All I want is a game where I can jump in and not be griefed while I'm learning how to play. Like, not even pity laughter. Like, it used to be, like, with the OG StarCraft, like, if I did something really stupid, people in the chat would be like, you have no idea what you're doing. You're adorable. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like with these games, it's like, get the fuck out.
But you haven't played it.
No, but I've heard plenty. I mean, I hear Brad talk about it every week. I hear stories. And can you tell me that is not the case?
I can tell you that's not the case because you haven't done it.
So anyway, so moving on. I don't think any progress.
This is just ridiculous. You can't tell me that that's not how these games are. That's my reputation. That's, people love to brag. That's
essentially what you're saying is like, everybody in the South is stupid and dumb because everybody in the South, for other people tell me everybody in the South is stupid and dumb. So I don't want to go there. It's like you have this like bias to it. So you're like, I'm never going to visit because it's full of dumb people.
So I think Griffin is right to some extent in that we're kind of being a little sweeping in our characterization of the community. But I think, yes, it doesn't speak to the actual code of the game, but it's just very, from an outsider's perspective, it's very unappealing.
Yes.
I guess is what I would say. At no point do I look at what I read about the game, what I watch of the game, and think, I want to be a part of that. I think, wow, that's a huge commitment, and I hate that. And it's very visceral, and it may not be entirely logical, but it's there. And I understand what you're saying, Griffin, and yeah. I know it frustrates you.
I think you said it really well, Jeff. Like, it's 100% visceral. It frustrates me. Like, everything that I hear makes me really sad about the game. And it's the same thing with fighting games. Like, I wish it was all more inclusive and everything was happier. I'm assuming it's the same way with League and Dota. Like, that there are some challenges, but like, not having dug in deep to it, I can't really speak to it.
So you just want to look at the actual title on its actual merits, apart from any online community. Meanwhile, I think Jamie and I just look at the online community and go, meh.
Isn't it entirely an online game? Is there a single player?
No, but what I'm trying
there
to say is...
There is a single player, yes.
There is...
Against AI opponents.
Oh,
yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Much like every single player game, yep.
But is there a campaign?
Is there a story?
Yes.
For Dota or League? For both?
I don't know anything about League. I've never played League. I've played Dota too.
I don't know much about Dota. I only know really more about League. So maybe League doesn't have a campaign.
It's the same thing as like playing a sports game. You know, there's a simulation mode for a single player.
Okay. So League doesn't have a campaign.
I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, what were we saying? I don't know. So you're separating it from the community, which is in many ways wise. I think that makes sense. We have trouble doing that. We just look at the community and we just go gross. That's pretty much what's happening here.
Yeah. And understandably, like, it's a community driven game. So it's hard to separate those two, but if you make your own community, what's the problem?
None in theory, but it seems like most people who play it don't seem to do that, and it's frustrating for outsiders, I guess would be what I say, because sure. I don't like that element of gaming, and that seems to be really popular, and that sucks. That's pretty much the whole deal.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. It's pretty popular, and that sucks summarizes all of MOBA right now. Yeah,
yep.
I'm 100% there with you.
Okay, great. Let's wind this sucker down before midnight. If we can.
After midnight.
No.
We'll let it all hang out.
I'm getting this train back on the rails.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeff.
Talking about Battleborn.
Dota 2.
Battleborn.
Talking about the Xbox One versus the PlayStation 4. Go.
Battleborn MOBA.
Yeah, baby. First person shooter action based hero combat.
Oh my god, all those words just make me jizz all over.
Me too. Yeah. Nothing would dissuade me from a game like that after all we talked about.
Yep. Hey, there's going to be some delays. You're not going to be able to play any games this year.
That's okay.
11 hitting my backlog, personally.
There's plenty of other games to play this year.
There are.
Like Donkey
Kong. Assassin's Creed Unity, guys.
Woo.
It's the great hope. There's a lady.
Can I put boobs on my player yet?
No. That would be way too much work.
Only if you cut them off of the lady. Mm. Put them on yourself.
I'm confused, but okay, keep going.
There's a lady character, but you can't control her.
Oh.
Emulating her live movements is far easier when she's not the player character.
All right.
We'd have to make a whole new skeleton, and that would involve 30,000 new employees.
She's got a lower center of gravity, which means she's totally not going to parkour the same way.
We invested all of our lady budget into making their asses shake and their boobs jiggle, and we have no money left for actual animation frames.
Why would you be a lady going to prostitute ladies giving them money? Now that just doesn't make a damn lick of sense.
Hey, what else is going on? Sony turned a profit, guys. That's pretty exciting.
Yay!
That's the first time they've turned a profit in a long, long time. And the big part of it was PS4.
Yay!
So that's pretty crazy. Yeah, I was pretty excited about that. Microsoft, did they post a loss or just a lower profit? I'm not sure.
I'm not positive.
Yeah, well...
It's what, first quarter earnings at this point, so everything means nothing.
Well, they're on a different fiscal year calendar, I think.
Are they?
I think so. I can't recall. But the big thing is they're struggling with those X-Bones, so hopefully they get something out, because they need to retweak that strategy, because I don't know, they've completed the reversal, so I think they're in a stronger position than they were in some ways, although now they have to kind of carve out an actual identity. But I don't know what that's going to be.
We're the entertainment hotspot. We're the action gaming hotspot. We're the game system that you liked in 2006 hotspot.
The sad thing is, did you see my little thing, Griffin, and or Jamie, if you read the document?
Nope.
they advertised that they shipped 1.2 million Xbox Ones and 800K 360s from January to March. And then they're like, oh, by the, for April to June, we shipped 1.1 million Xbox Ones and 360s.
Boom.
Nice.
PSP so, still selling well, baby.
My uncle just bought an Xbox 360. Like just now.
They shipped 800,000 from January to March.
360.
My uncle was like, "Can I play pinball on the Xbox 360?"
That's adorable.
Let's get one of those. And I was like, "Yeah, you can."
I want to tousle your uncle's hair.
So that was it's kind of interesting to hear people like that talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
They want to know very specific things. Can this box? Can we play bowling on it?
Mm-hmm. No, you cannot play bowling on it, but you can go to Amazon.com on it. And I can read your body temperature. Oh, everybody's gone now. Great. All right. I thought there'd be a reprise on that. Is somebody saying anything? Nope.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey. Hello. Oh, it's a ceiling.
That's a good ceiling. Yep.
Take your ceiling, baby.
You're a ceiling.
Woo! Where were we?
Uncle's buying me 360s.
Battleborn?
Skip. Pass.
Okay.
By where?
Pinball Wizard.
Wizard.
Pinball Wizard.
From the moon.
Let me find our notes. Oh yeah. So they started out with 2 million in total for both of them, and then they combined them to make one number, and that's never a good thing.
Mm, mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. That's like with Sony and the Vita. Just combine it with that PSP.
Yep. PlayStation brands exceeding expectations.
Yep. I think they said 750,000 PSPs and Vitas in total. That's okay, I guess.
Good.
Yeah. So that there's that. Anything else you guys want to talk about before we kind of just cut this mother?
Doom. Doom was a thing. I don't know if you guys care about
Doom
that.
Doom was a thing.
I liked the Doom 4. What is it? Doom 4? The last one? I like that one.
I think it was Doom 3.
Doom 3. Yeah, there you go.
Doom 3.
Wasn't really shown to the public. No footage is out in the wild. But hey, you know what? Another Doom sounds fine to me.
Doom 2 was great.
I enjoyed Doom.
You could get a BFG.
Yep. I like the movie. I like the movie Doom.
The movie was the greatest terrible movie.
It sure was. Had Dwayne the Rock Johnson in it.
Was he Dwayne the Rock Johnson or Dwayne Johnson?
He was Dwayne Johnson at that time, I believe.
Oof, that's a dark period.
They had great credits. They had a great first-person shooting scene. And
yep, it was like 5 minutes long.
And they had Carl Urban in it.
wasn't that first-person shooting scene like literally like 5 minutes of the entire movie?
Probably too long, but it was why I was there my freshman year of college.
Yep. It was as if that scene, the budget for just having a weird FOV thing with a CG gun was like is the highest part of that movie. Like that part that was like the 3D effects, right?
They
there.
Marketed that.
Oh,
that was
they
like,
sure did.
They didn't though. Like that pre-launch, there was never like, and it's gonna be a first person. That was this awesome little like cheesecake moment at the end. Like beforehand, they're like, Dwayne the Rock Johnson is the hero because he is Dwayne the Rock Johnson and he is going to be the Doom guy shooting guys. And there's that monster and that monster and that monster. And then midway through the movie, they're like, nope, he's the bad guy. He's dead now. And then the rest of the movie was like crazy bananas bullshit. And then they did the first person thing at the end. It was super awesome.
But I mean, like when they were promoting the movie, like I remember watching Dwayne on some late night talk show where he said, in his voice, he's like, yeah, there's a whole part where it's like a video game.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah,
whoever
yeah.
was hosting the thing was like, whoa, really? He's like, yeah.
Yes, but in the TV marketing, it was never like, we're just going to show you first-person action movie. Because that would have been terrible idea.
I'm pretty sure I thought going in that whole movie was going to be like that. And I was really disappointed when it wasn't, to be honest. Also, hey, how cool was it when that guy won Evo with a PlayStation controller?
Oh, it was really cool because that match was actually really awesome to watch. So
it was a really awesome match, I will say. Some cool characters, I thought. I don't really know anything about how that game worked. So
French dude winning the game, first French person or non-Asian person. Also, first person playing a lady character winning the game. At Evo, and very cool.
At Rose, too. Is Rose even, like, considered good?
Now she is. I mean, I think the tier thing is a bunch of horse crap, but it definitely seemed like that matchup that was happening with Rose and Sagat was that guy was just a superior player with those two characters. Yeah, whether it did seem that way. Whether or not one was better than the other, he outplayed the other. So
yeah, well, I think there's some merit to the tier list, but yeah, they don't, you know, they're just usage stats basically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's all they are. So.
Yes, they are.
Combined with some limited amount of meta analysis by people who have privileged status, so they don't actually speak to quality. Anyway. Sweet. Did we do it? Is there anything else we need to do? Okay, good. We did it. Before midnight.
We did it.
We didn't talk about the pornographic potential for the new Sonic Boom cast members.
Did you guys watch that scientifically accurate Sonic video?
No.
Oh, it's super great. Talks about how hedgehogs rub poop all over their body. Foxes eat hedgehogs.
You know, I don't think I ever want to watch any scientifically accurate Sonic video of any kind, no matter what it is.
It's really funny. All right.
I'm fighting it.
Sonic Boom did have some pretty attractive animals to work to.
Yep. Work it out for your hayseed desires.
What was the one like Fursy Percy?
Sure.
You said that like you're already masturbating, Griffin. Sure.
There's that walrus with sure. There's a walrus with a mustache where it's like, dude, really? That's your design for a character? He's like an old walrus with a mustache? And they're like, Griffin, his name's Oldie Salty.
Have you watched footage of that game being played, Griffin?
Yes, I have.
That game. It looks
like a bummer. It definitely looks like a bummer.
Yep. It sure does. All right.
But you know, I don't want to write it off yet. Maybe it's super fun. Probably not, though.
Nope. But, you know, I guess it's possible.
Yep.
It wouldn't be Sonic if you didn't fall into a horrible cycle of hope and despair.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're right.
Remember when we were all like, hey, maybe the Werehog isn't so bad?
Nope.
No. I remember that.
Nope.
I remember that. I remember it. Yeah, it happens every time.
Like when the Black Knight, it was like Sonic the Black Knight was coming out, and it was like, wait a second, like he has a sword and he jumps around. It was like, not terrible, but the Werehog was like bungee arms and shape shifting horse shit. That sounded dumb.
I feel like Sonic and the Black Knight was like announced and then came out the next day.
Yeah. I think that was partly why I was like, this might not be bad, because I didn't have a moment to actually think about that.
They're capitalizing on that Sonic fanboy insanity.
Mm-hmm.
Sonic and the Black Knight sounds like the title to the best fan fiction ever.
It's a Sonic game where Sonic goes back in time with Martin Lawrence and they fight in the jousting arena in old King Arthur's Camelot court.
Chris Tucker is there. He's the bad guy.
I should send you guys the Sonic fanfiction I read about Obama and the Chaos Emeralds.
Oh, jeez. Excuse me, it's pronounced Chow. And speaking of Chow, I think it's time to go with this episode of Boss Barrel.
Indeed.
Dear listener.
All right, guys.
Thanks for putting up with the technical difficulties. Everybody, Indeed. Go play some Dota or League of Legends or Smash Brothers or Final Fantasy or
Tekken. You know what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen now, right, guys? We're all going to become the three greatest Dota players in the world.
Ever.
Yeah. Yeah. And then face off in like an anime styled confrontation.
The three musketeers. Three Dota tiers.
Yes. God tier.
Goodbye forever.
Okay, guys. All right, I'm gonna hit the hay.
Me too. All right. I'm so exhausted.
Good night, guys.
All right. Bye.
Good night,
listener. Goodbye.